coming to you from Planet Comic Con at Bartle Hall in Kansas City. It's the Tim and Lo Show.
All right, here we are. We are coming to you from Planet Comic Con in Kansas City, Missouri, right from Bartle Hall. This place is absolutely crazy today, and we have an awesome special guest to start us off. First of all, let me introduce my beautiful co-host, my traveling companion, Lonita Cook, is here with us.
I am Lonita Cook, your friendly neighborhood film critic, and we are here with...
We're Marlon here with Wayans. Mr. Marlon Wayans, man. The man from Haunted House 2, from G.I. Joe.
Not waiting for the intro,
I'm just watching all that's going by. I feel like I died and went to, like, nerd heaven.
I was going to ask you if you had a geek card.
No, they won't let me in.
They won't let you in?
Actually, I respect the hell out of geeks because they're actually so much... They're actually in the future, and everybody else is in the past.
Oh.
Growing up... Geeks are actually, they had all the comic books. I used to steal their comic books. That's how I learned to read. But they knew all the Spider-Man. They knew all the Hulks. They knew that 30 years later that this would be the new wave of filmmaking. Right. The biggest things are, because what they understood was story, character, conflict. And that leads to, you know, great
and
movies.
And
costumes. You put somebody in some tights and you have them kick some ass for a reason, and, you know, it's rocking. So nerds are actually, you know, not nerds. They're actually the cool kids.
So are you saying we might see you in a superhero film anytime soon?
No, damn, no. I did G.I. Joe. That's enough for me. I bow out.
If
I did one, I would do a funny superhero. I would do The Mask, or I would do Plastic Man.
Plastic Man.
Those are the two I would like to do.
Now, is it true that years ago that you were kind of recruited for maybe the Batman and Robin to play Robin?
Yeah, I was supposed to play Robin. I got paid for it. I got a check. I bought my mama. No, I didn't buy my mama nothing with that one. But I bought me some cool-ass Jordans. I bought a car, Honda Accord EX, that my nephew crashed and left it. I still get residual checks for like $2.37.
Every time it airs on TNT or whatever?
After it airs like 16 times, then I get a
$2.37
check.
Oh, there you go.
That is the tallest Wonder Woman ever. Oh, my God. That is crazy.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's crazy out here. Well, I think you're probably better off for
just like
that
the 50-foot woman became... look at that. Look at Wonder Woman.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh,
Catwoman got a lot of ass.
Now, if they're looking for their Wonder Woman, they need
like,
look
no
further.
Tail, just all ass.
So, do you ever go to the big Comic-Con out in San Diego?
I've been there before. I've been there like two or three times. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy... it's weird y'all being over here because when I'm talking... Yeah. Maybe I should sit there and you should sit here because then I can look at both of you guys because I feel like... When I'm looking at you, she's talking about me behind my back.
She might be too. That's true.
But if
you guys want to switch real quick,
we good. What was I saying? The one this is like Comic Con, like baby Comic Con.
Oh yeah.
The other one is crazy.
Oh, I bet.
It's ridiculous. You really feel like you're in outer space.
I bet that place is even more mad. But you know, because they go out there, they do all the big movies.
People don't
drive
there. They actually, what's that thing that they transport there? What's that called when you? In Star Wars, they used to do it all the time.
Hyperdrive?
No, beam me up, Scotty, and they used to dissolve. And is that transport?
Yes,
they used to transport there. See, I used to watch. I'm a little bit of a nerd, I guess. I just don't like to admit it. I was the uncool kid in school. The only thing that made me cool was my funny.
My mom was a Trekkie, so it was all Star Trek and Quantum Leap and in my house growing up.
I'm very attracted to your mom.
Well, I will let her know.
The Trekkie girls I used to always think were sexy. Because they used to wear those outfits with the little Star Trek thing on it. And I used to want to act like they were Aurora. And I was Captain Kirk.
All
and
right
we have
now.
Sex in the back.
See, I'm no longer thinking about my mama right now.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wow. I'm sorry. I made it weird?
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
So is this the first time you've been to Kansas City?
No, I've been to Kansas City before. I come here when I'm on tours sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I like it. I like Kansas City. You guys keep trying to feed me barbecue.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave here like 25 pounds fatter.
That is the thing about coming to KC is you're definitely going to have... And there's so many different places, so you're always going to have somebody trying to give you some of the different Gates.
You got Gates,
Oklahoma Joe's,
and Gates.
So you've had Gates, you've had Bryant's.
I haven't had Bryant's, and I haven't had Johnson's. And I haven't, they got everybody. Pick a last name, they got them. Johnson.
Oklahoma Joe's is the
Oklahoma
one.
Oklahoma Joe's.
There you go.
We.
Okay, so you've got a Haunted House 2 coming up.
Yes.
Coming up next month. Talk a little bit about the movie and, you know, where you're at with it.
It's crazy as the first one. Someone a little crazier. We had a screening last night in Kansas City. Went really well. I was really happy about that. You know, I had a lot of fun making it, and I hope the audience has fun watching it.
Absolutely.
I always tell people, I'm not going to change your life. Hopefully I change your mood and you laugh a little bit. That's all.
Yeah, and we really enjoyed it. Hilarious movie.
Thank you.
You know, we talked to you on Friday at KC Live, you know, about being a critic. You know, you can't critique movies like this.
No,
you know,
the
way you can, you know, other movies, you know, because you're going out, you're writing this, you're just trying to be funny. You want us to laugh. You want us to be entertained. And
I go to all lengths.
Haven't seen the movie.
There's nowhere I will not go to try and make people laugh. And hopefully, I did that a couple of times. I think if you laugh 5 times in a movie, it's a good comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially, look at these comedies now, like 2.5 hours long. This is a good 87 minutes of just, you know, some really crazy stuff. You get in, you get out.
Absolutely. Now, what is it about the horror genre that you think is just so ripe for spoofing?
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to know. Movie?
Is it really comedy or is it horror? I mean, which one has your passion?
It's a horror comedy. I just think they share the same setups and different, like, punchlines. The punchline is like the setup is always tension, tension, tension. And then in a horror movie, your release is the scare. In a comedy, it's tension, 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 and your release is a laugh. I think that and the fact that I like making fun of dark shit stuff. You can't curse.
Yes, you do.
Go for it.
Okay,
no,
dark
do.
Shit. I like
yes,
making fun
curse.
Of dark shit.
Yeah, feel free. Use the word.
My curse
the
darker, the better. Really, mine? You can believe mine. I don't give a shit.
Yours will not.
Look, this guy got no Planet of the Apes outfit on. I mean, face, nothing. He just got the jacket. That's weird. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man. All right.
There's so much to watch. Like,
there is a lot going on. We came out yesterday.
Worse than interviewing somebody on Miami Beach with a bunch of half-naked girls.
But that might be a little bit better scenery than this.
Yeah, no, this is fun.
But there are probably some half-naked girls walking around here. They are here.
Yeah, some in weird costumes. So, you know, you got to wash the makeup off to see what you got or not.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just, you know, deal with the fantasy, you know.
Get with the fantasy. That's what's up. I am pro fantasy.
She said, "That's what's up." Obviously, the way you said, "That's what's up." Like you see that dude right there. You see Aquaman. I'm about to sit on his face.
Oh shoot. Yeah.
Linda, I'm doing an interview. I don't know.
We are looking at. What are we looking at?
Oh, yeah. There's ass all over.
We have seen a lot of ass.
It might not be the kind of ass you want to see, but there's asses hanging out all over the place.
Man, pony ass.
Man, pony ass. A metal uniform yesterday.
There's
it was
a
out.
Lot of stuff to look at.
Absolutely, there is. So you've worked with a lot of different directors, you know, from Darren Aronofsky to Coen Brothers. You do your own thing. What kind of movies do you prefer? I mean, besides comedy. I mean, if you know, when you branch out of your normal comfort zone as the comedy, what do you like to get into?
I like it all, man. All genres. I think I just love acting. I love making make believe believable.
Yeah.
I think it's a blessing. I don't really care which way. I just, as long as it's a good script with a good story.
Sure.
And working with a good director, and you get to have your take on a character, I think it's all fun.
Yeah.
I'll do porno.
I have noticed.
That's why I put porno in my comedies. I was a big fan of porn growing up.
A big fan.
Yeah, huge fan.
Was it in the era when
the
it was a magazine
off.
Kept under the mattress?
First time I jerked off, I just touched it, and it just shot off all over the place. And I thought my dick was broke, and I called my brother. I was like, Sean, I think it's broke. White stuff came out. He goes, no, stupid, you had an orgasm. I was like, really? He said, yes. I said, can you excuse me? And I went and had another orgasm. It was awesome.
And did you say it when writing your own eye? Did you say that?
No, it went all over the place. All over me.
All
I grabbed the toilet.
I
fell down.
I was like, it went in my own eye.
And it was
what?
To Vanessa Del Rio. And for the rest of my teenage years, I used to always look for Vanessa Del Rio. Did you masturbate to Vanessa Del Rio?
I'm not going to answer that.
That's
but
a yes. Well, you
know
got excited. You
went
orgasm right there.
All right, we got time for one more
Everybody
question.
Everybody knows who she is.
One more question.
Now, this was brought up at the screening last night. I wanted to see if you'd elaborate. Somebody asked you when you guys are coming back to TV. The Lemon Color. One of the best. But I would more like to see at least you guys come back and just look, do a one-night special. What would be the odds of that happening?
A special, yeah, we would do.
You know, something where, you know, you just come back, you guys write a few sketches.
A special, we would do.
I think that would be amazing.
We thought about doing a series of specials. That we would do. To come back to TV on a weekly, I don't know. It's not plans right now.
Right.
You know, setting up my next movies, and, you know, I'm really into making movies. I got my online digital network, whatthefunny.com. You guys be sure to check it out. We drop a lot of funny sketches on that. But right now, I'm loving movies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But maybe specials, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you
we're
do.
Loving movies, too.
There you go.
Before you
like
get
Floyd
out of
Mayweather,
here.
They got the money team. We do the funny team.
There you go.
Crazy.
What? Got the muscle on it team.
Yeah, hello.
All right. So All right. Tell us about April 25th. You'll be back, Kansas City?
April 25th, I'm going to be at the Improv. With my brother Sean, April 25th at the Improv in KC, and I'll be eating some more damn barbecue and be doing stand-up with my brother Sean at the Improv out there, so make sure you guys come check it out. And April 18th, the week before, I need you all to do me a favor and go check out Haunted House 2.
A Haunted House 2. What's your Twitter handle?
At Marlon handle. Wayans. At Marlon Wayans, and you can hit me on Instagram, too, at Marlon Wayans. If you tweet me, I normally tweet you back. If you say some foul shit, I'll say foul shit back to you. It's a wonderful, loving relationship.
Symbiotic.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This guy looks like he's trying to, like, a perverted, like, Star Trekkie. Like, he looks like a perverted nerd. Like, he's trying to find out the square root of everybody's vagina.
Oh. That's an answer I think we all need.
There you go.
The square root
of everybody's vagina.
Of everybody's.
I guess we'll have to work on that.
He's
maybe
working
we can
on the formula right now. Radius times pi. That was weird.
All right.
All right. That's going to be it for Marlon Wayans. Thank
you
so much for coming in and seeing us today. Enjoy the rest of your time in Kansas City, buddy. All right.
Travel safely.
Well, that was fun.
That was amazing.
Marlon Wayans, that's our first big guest. So
that is our biggest guest, yes.
So hopefully.
And he was amazing to be, you know, I would like him to be some other firsts of mine. Now that he's not here, I can talk kind of dirty about him. He is. Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I just like, when you go on like that, I just let you go. So.
Okay, so we saw him. We went to Kansas City Live yesterday.
Yes.
And this was my first time seeing him in person. I've seen a lot of people in person that we see on TV, and we go, oh, my God, I can't believe they really look like this in person. Well, we walked in, and he was doing his interview with Michael, and at the end, he stood up. And I said, oh, my God, I did not know he was that tall and that he looked like that in his jeans. And then he was so sweet and personable. I think I am a convert because, you know, being a part of Royal Comedy, you know.
The Wayans family.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That is, family. You know, they are. They're,
yeah.
They're, that's comedy royalty.
Yeah, they, yes,
that was
they
something,
are.
You know, when we were little, 12, 13, that's when, you know, In Living Color started when we were younger. So, how are you guys? You guys having fun? Awesome.
What's going on? Oh, Marlon
Wayans. Yeah, Marlon Wayans was here a little bit ago. Yeah,
he just came to say hi to us, I'm sorry, but you know what? Well, how old are you? Yeah, I was gonna say listen to it, but this baby is only 13, Marlon. I don't know if I should say. Well, the movie comes out April.
Yeah, 18th. You can if you want one of those posters, you're more than welcome to take one. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, they're not in the best condition, so.
That's what makes Comic-Con so great is all these people out here that just want to kind of be around.
Yeah,
you know, the
so
people
excited.
They've idolized and looked up to. And
did you see how sweet her face was?
Yeah.
She was so enthused.
Yeah, so Marlon, if you listen to us, that girl was so excited to meet you.
And she was so cute.
I think just knowing that he was in the building with her for even a few moments was enough to light up the day. So for that little girl, so.
Oh, we're recording a podcast. You want to come say hi? Yeah, this is Gene Willis. This is Tim. You know Gene?
Hi. No, I know. Tim English. Nice to meet you.
Gene, I don't know your entire resume. I know him from Sumner Academy. He is a fellow Saber, but I know you're over at Andrews McMill now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Director of marketing.
Can you hear him?
Director of marketing are over there.
There you go. There you go.
In fact, in about 20 minutes, I am moderating a panel with the editor of Calvin and Hobbes. He's retiring. Yeah, so I'll be moderating that. Bill Amon, the creator of Foxtrot, the classic comic strip, will be doing that too. And then we'll be asking a lot of questions about, he also signed the Boondocks, The Far Side, For Better, For Worse, and he's retiring in 2 weeks after almost 40 years in the industry.
And he's retiring with us here at Comic-Con.
Yes, this will be truly, it's called The Last Ride of Lee Salem, and it is truly the last ride.
Man. Wow. So will you be answering questions about how to get published? Because I know Andrew McMill specializes in comics, cookbooks, joke books, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So yeah, there will be questions answered about not only how to get published, but also the creative process, what goes into building a good comic strip, into building a good resume for yourself in the creative areas, also the importance of digitally marketing yourself, too. So I think it's going to be a good time, and we're really proud to be a part of this. This is our first time being at Planet Comic-Con as our Go Comics brand.
Nice.
So
really I think it's a really great fit and a really great angle, yeah. You know, so.
Well, it's really good to see you guys here, too.
Always
love seeing, you know, really talented people interacting with these great crowds, especially here in Kansas City.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank
you so much, Alina. Always great to see you.
Of course, Gene. Thank you for sitting down with us and talking about Andrew McMill. Everybody go to the website and check out what they have coming up. What's the latest book you have coming out?
Latest book, I'd say the one that people are probably going to be most interested in is that we have a great collection from Cul-de-sac. Cul-de-sac retired cartoonist Richard Thompson. That's good. And then also people don't realize Calvin and Hobbes is available in digital format.
Wow.
Yeah, so ebook form. Bill Watterson, excuse me, personally customized and looked at each page of the layouts as they were transitioned in the digital form. And he is very reclusive, so this was a very big deal for him to get that involved with it.
Well, congratulations.
Really excited about it.
Very cool.
Okay, Glonita, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by, man. Thanks. So I think that's just going to kind of be how our show shakes out today.
I went to high school with him, and he was always the nicest, and I love it when people grow up. And he is very successful in what he does. He is one of my most successful friends. But I say that only to say that he's still as genuine and sweet as he always was. I love him.
Yeah.
This music just got loud. I can't help but break just a little bit. What?
Yeah, as you can hear, it's getting crazy. So if we have anybody that happens to come after us for any copyright infringement or, you know, this music that's being played, we have no control over it.
That's right.
Please
there's
be
the
nice
DJ in the background, and we are not affiliated with that DJ.
Right. It's all happening out here at Comic-Con.
It's just the Comic-Con-ness happening tonight.
Hey, look at this. It's just like Jon Snow. Jon Snow! Badass, dude. Badass.
And
Kit Harington that was just in.
He's kind of cute, too. What?
What was that movie? Oh, Pompeii. You know, we talked about that movie a couple weeks ago.
Oh, so what's our roster looking like for today? Do we...
Stuff we're talking about? Or
about with people coming over. We're going to have some people just kind of sitting down intermittently and hanging out with us. We had a great opening to today's show. Marlon Wayans was with us. And I can't say enough about how smart he is, how talented he is. But ladies and gentlemen who like that kind of thing, how hot he is. Oh, my goodness. I think I thought about him last night.
Yeah, we need to get some women on this show.
He kissed me on the cheek like 4 times. One more time, boy, you're going to have to, anyway.
Yeah, one more time and it progresses. Okay, now.
One more time, you're going to have to put some fingers with it, boy. Okay, he just made me get beside myself.
It's all right. That's all right. So, yeah, you asked about our show today, what the plan is. And I think what just happened, we're just going to have people that randomly come by and sit down with us for a few minutes. I think we're trying to get Eddie McClintock from Warehouse 13 on here later.
Yes, we are.
He's supposed to come by, so hopefully he remembers me. We can go see him.
I hope he does come see us.
But there's so many great people out here. We're trying to get Sylvester McCoy, who played one of the doctors from Doctor Who.
Excellent.
He's out here. And
Dr. Hugh, everybody who listens to our podcast, you know that I am needing to catch up on lots and lots and lots of shows. Doctor Who is one of them.
So, yeah, at Jewel State, I went and bugged her PR person again. I said, don't forget about us. And I gave her some more information. So she, hopefully, you know, some of these people come by. We got a comic book artist that's supposed to come by. Jason Turner is supposed to come by and talk about his new series, the Iron City Chronicles. He got one. Iron City Chronicles.
Iron
Jason
City
Turner.
Chronicles, yeah. With Iron City Joe.
Iron Joe. Iron Joe. So, you know, I think that's going to kind of be, we're just going to try to flag some people down.
Transhumanism is all the rage right now. So you said they're doing a Terminator remake, and then they've got Almost Human. They just came out with RoboCop. And then, so Iron City Chronicles, it's at a good time. So we're looking forward to that coming out of local projects.
And he's a local filmmaker, so that's what you're going to get with the Tim and Lo Show. A little bit of local, a little bit of national flavor. We're going to go both ways here. You got that, Lonita?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So this is Comic-Con. This is your first experience in a convention?
This is my first. Well, yeah, it's my first Comic-Con ever. I've never been to Comic-Con, and I've always said, you know, I want to go. I used to date a guy who would go to Geek Way in the West or something like that.
He would just
literally geek out. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to something like that with people who, because it's not just, you know, it's people with this common interest and this love for comics and sci-fi and costumes, and they're all, and the energy in here is just so amazing. So I really wanted to come experience it.
Well, and it's such a unique event because you see all these people who have, like you said, these common, you know, interests, you know, and they're all rooted in TV and movies and comic books and all kinds of different, you know, just canons of entertainment, you know, and they all come together and these people dress in costumes and they're so excited to A, be dressed up and to show off the costumes they've been working so hard to put together. And some of these people have some crazy goddamn costumes that you can just tell they've spent insane amount of money.
Insane amount of money and time. The detail, the intricacy of some of these costumes, like, wow, they are true fans.
I don't even know what the hell he's supposed to be, but that's some work, dude.
And then sometimes you see him wearing
Jedi's
costumes.
Out here. So, you know, it's crazy, dude. I came out here last year, and I've been to a few other cons. I've been to a couple of the Star Wars celebrations. And I've been to an X-Files convention. Yeah,
X-Files.
Dude, long ass time ago. That was 1998 in Chicago when the first X-Files movie came out. So, we've been to a few. We did the Con X a few years ago that was here in Kansas City. And we had a good time there. But Planet Comic Con, they do a great job here. It's amazing.
I mean, and here's the thing. I am surprised at how cute some of these nerds are. They are good looking.
He heard you.
Like this little guy, when he grows up, he's going to be like a little Keanu Reeves.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying.
Keanu Reeves reference dropped already.
Oh.
30 minutes into the show.
He did. I mean, he looked like he could be like a 14-year-old
Keanu
Reeves.
I think it was the teenage clueless look on his face that gave me the Keanu. Because Keanu Reeves always looks clueless. And I love Keanu, you know.
And he's not clueless. That is the genius of his madness.
I think that's the rap about Keanu.
Clueless,
he does get that rap because he said, "Whoa!"
Right
in the Matrix, you know,
but
or Bill and Ted, you
smart.
Know, so he kind of gets a bad rap. Is this Trinity here? Is that who she's supposed to be?
That's a good question.
She's in patent leather
boots up to her knees and a patent leather jacket and skin tight pants. What girl? Is she got a gun? okay. They do it big.
I do have to admit, if I wasn't already married, I would easily fall in love out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love me some nerdy women. Is that all right for me to say?
What?
I said I love me some nerdy women.
No, I just said look at these nerds out here looking all sexy. You know, it was a couple nerds that came in here. They was big and buff. I said, now, are you working? Like, are you an actor working this festival? Or are you into it? Because I want to be into it with you. But there are a lot of stuff, like, we're looking across the way, and they have the Japanime, like, Sailor Moon. Is that what that is?
Yes.
That up there, that kind of stuff, that's what my kids... look at that is
how you doing, bud? My kids never got into the anything like that. All that Pokemon, that's a crappy,
love
stupid
Pokemon.
Anyway.
They love Inuyasha.
Yeah, my kids missed the boat on all that rage, the Power Rangers, stuff like that. They just never
the Full Metal Alchemist. My kids are all over that. I won't say crap because, you know, I did like Dragon Ball Z. I'm not going to lie. I am a Super Saiyan, okay?
Okay.
Kakarot.
I learn something new about you every day. I think that's important. Hey, look at this guy. We have Alden Miller here. Alden, you want to sit down for a minute?
Hey.
Have a seat.
How's it going?
You know Alden? Alden Miller's a filmmaker.
Yes. Alden Miller. Oh my goodness, you are tall, and it's real.
How you doing today, Alden?
What,
I'm
how
doing
tall
pretty
are
good.
You?
How are you guys?
We're good.
7 foot.
Just getting crazy here. Holy shit, that guy's
huge. What do you think I'm saying here? He's 7 foot.
Hey, it looks like that dude in like Superman 2. Like
yeah.
Exactly. That's what,
that's what he
like
should have been dressed like.
And then he had on a little headband. He's like 7 foot with a little headband.
You've seen Superman 2? The dudes that come down with Zod, that dude should have been dressed like that. He looks like that. I can't remember his name. So this is Alden Miller. This is Lil Nita Cook.
I think we met
once or twice.
All right.
Yes,
nice
good
to
meet
you.
Alden's a filmmaker. And he's had a couple of films in Terror on the Plains.
Yep.
Fantastic.
So that's where I know him from. What do you got going on?
And you and I, we are friends on Facebook, yes?
I think so, yes.
I'm pretty sure we
Indeed.
Are.
Yes. Actually, I got two projects I'm working on right
now.
One is, which I might try to kickstart, is a short film based on a Stephen King short story.
Yeah.
And then another thing I'm doing kind of just appeared out of nowhere. I'm in research mode to do a documentary on comic books. Especially kind of like comic books here in Kansas City.
Sure.
So I'm kind of looking around for some writers and artists and stuff like that.
Are you getting any footage out here?
I'm getting a little. The problem is that, you know, if I don't know who I'm going to cover, because I don't know who I'm going to talk to later.
Yeah.
So I'll get a little bit of B-roll type footage, but I'm not going to stress out too much about this because it's not really about the convention. It's about
the love of comic books. Is that what we're talking about here?
That is
about
what we're talking
love,
about.
The creation of...
Indeed.
Am I talking too loud, Josh? I'm trying to compensate for the music, but I'm fine. Okay.
Well, it's definitely the best place for that kind of research.
I thought you could find
anybody who's into any kind of aspect of the comic book universe. Right.
It's funny because I found a lot of guys and like I talked to them like, hey, would you like to talk about comics? And they're like, yeah, that'd be awesome. I love that idea. And they're like, oh, so where are you from? Iowa. Awesome.
I'm right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the other thing is this place brings people in from all over. So it's very, very cool. So last time we were, you had Children of the Candy Corn.
Yes.
Where did you
Children
end up doing
of
that?
The Candy Corn?
You gotta say it, it's good.
Yes. That was the name of the film. It's about basically this trick-or-treater this guy that runs out of candy for the trick-or-treaters. And so
Malachi.
Then chaos ensues. Actually, the main kid, just out of coincidence, his real name is Malachi.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
So we pretty much cast him just on that fact alone.
There you go. You can get Nick cast on name alone. There you go. Even in Kansas City.
Right.
There you go. So very, very cool, man. Well, what else is going on? You're involved with IFC.
I am.
What are you doing with them now? Are you one of the officers now?
I am one of the board members of the IFC, and I'm kind of in charge of organizing seminars after their meetings.
Okay.
So people come in that know what they're talking about. Talk to the people that need to learn to find out about the things. And one big thing going on next week is on the 19th. It's a Wednesday. They're gathering all of the filmmakers and people that are interested in film in town down to the River Market area. I don't know the exact details,
right.
But I just know it's going to be a good time on the 19th.
All right.
Fantastic. Well, Alden, thank you so much for dropping by.
Yeah.
You don't have to go.
Yeah.
I just want to remind you to check out Marlon Wayans in A Haunted House 2, since you like scary movies.
Indeed. I will do that.
And that comes out April 18th.
Yeah.
And what's his Twitter handle? I can't even say
it's at
Twitter
Wayans.
Handle.
At Marlon Wayans on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yeah, follow him and he follows back.
Yeah.
Sweet.
He reciprocates. That's what I like to hear.
Cool. So, all right. Well, you guys have a good day.
Right on, man. Filmmaker Alden Miller. Thanks, buddy, for stopping by, man.
There you go.
Take care, buddy.
It's
all right.
Yeah. See you again.
He's a great dude. He went on KC Live with me. In October, when we were talking about Terror on the Plains.
Nice.
I went on, did double duty that day, did a segment about Terror on the Plains, and then I reviewed some horrible movie. Oh, The Counselor. Did you ever see that one? It sucked.
The Counselor?
Yeah, with, Brad Pitt and Michael Fassbender and Javier Bardem.
I saw your review of The Counselor.
It was
because
great.
I didn't get to go to the screening for some reason.
Yeah.
I have many reasons. And so, wait a minute, he could take my picture all day long. Wait, he is kind of fine. Let me see. I got to stop. It's a sickness. At this point, it's a sickness.
It's all right. You got to be who you are.
I can only be myself.
And
I need to card him. Was he of age? Should I have been talking about him like that? Uh-oh. He looked good, though. He could be a superhero.
There you go.
He could.
Little budding Clark Kent there.
Yeah, he needs to come
Jimmy
back and say hello. And I can give him some theme music. That's right.
Every good, what we didn't bring up when we ran out of time, but I wanted to talk about I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka, because that was like one of his first.
Was he in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka?
I saw it on his IMDb page. I wanted to bring it because you had just put that on your best love stories.
As my number one love story. You should have told him that.
Well, we ran out of time. Man's a busy man.
He is a busy man.
He had to eat and run.
And
so.
I did not allow myself enough time this morning, so I was a little late to our interview. So, how long had he been here waiting for me?
Just a few minutes.
A few minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, five. I mean, it was, 12:05 when you got here?
Yeah.
He had been here 5 or 10 minutes, maybe.
What? I said text me when he got here. It's all right.
He just, blam, just, I called him, right when he did.
Oh.
Yeah. So
okay.
It was like five. It was only a few minutes.
Yeah, I was in the building.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
So
I called you right when he walked
in. I'm also working on another project. I am a co-editor of the publication for The Writer's Place. And we are our spotlight author for this issue is Major Devine. She's a Korean war survivor. And so I'm getting everything squared away with her for this edition. And reading her novel, wow. And she's told me a little bit about the process of writing the book. I won't get too much into it because she's, going to do some other press, and so I can't say too much. But, just we have some amazing people here in Kansas City.
We really do.
Yeah. As work and artists that, you don't know what's happening until you, of course, discover it. But the discovery is just, it's Major Devine.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Kansas City is there's so many amazing people, but the art community, the film community as a whole, it needs to be united somehow. That way all these people know about each other.
Exactly.
It just seems like there's too big of gaps in between each artist and all this talent that's in this town. And that was something I was talking to Sean Edwards about last night. Was he was like, man, we need to get this community united so
Absolutely.
We can do more things like last night. Where last night we attended a screening of Haunted House 2.
Yes, we did.
With Marlon Wayans.
He was there.
he hosted a Q&A. There was that meet and greet afterwards. That's an amazing thing for people to get to do, especially here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
We don't get to do this very often. You know, once a year maybe is what I'm saying. You know, last year we had Harrison Ford here, and you know, for the 42 premiere. But
I mean, we get people who want to come to Kansas City and let Kansas Citians know that they are an important part of the general audience, that they appreciate us, that they know that we're here, that we have consumer power to, you know, to be blatant about it.
Well, now, the market's so much bigger here.
Is that just a suit, or is he kind of, but for real? No, that's just a suit.
I think that's mostly suit.
Yeah, he got nice hands, though. So, yeah, we are very privileged to get people like Marlon Wayans and, like you said, Harrison Ford.
Well, you know, and we're able to draw these in. And whenever these people come here, these, you know, celebrities, they come out here from the West Coast, beautiful California, right? And they see that Kansas City is actually a pretty goddamn cool place, you know? I mean, it really is. There's a lot to do here. I wish we'd take some of these premieres maybe downtown to the Plaza instead of out north where they've been held.
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying you want the screenings where the stars actually show up to be...
Well, you know, it's going to be hard. You know, if you have, with a movie like 42, which was a rare red carpet ceremony for Kansas City last year, you know, there was a few of those stars. You're not going to get, you know, like you can't open, what's something coming up? Captain America.
Ah.
Okay, Captain America opens up in Kansas City. Maybe you get Chris Evans, but you're not going to get Chris Evans, Samuel Jackson.
Right.
You're going to be able to. Yeah, Anthony
right.
Mackie, all those guys, like you're going to. You know, but, yeah, I'd like to see us try to get some of these special screenings a little. All Marlon's doing right now, he's touring with that movie.
Yeah.
21 cities. He's on his way to St. Louis
that
next.
That was, you know, our setup here was a little wonky, but if I had been able to get here on time, we maybe could have done it right. But, I wanted to ask him, you know, the concept behind going on a tour, of course, is to market the film, but, you know, what other benefits do you get out of it? I mean, the travel, I mean, does he enjoy traveling, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
But going on tour, we're the first city that he came to, right?
Yeah. In St. Louis, he said he was off to St. Louis.
Yeah, and it's like, why? Why did you pick us first? Oh, here's our guys right here.
Yeah.
Hey guys, how's it going? Hey, what's going on with your glasses, Project Nerd? Yeah, you guys want to sit down and talk with us right now? All right, so we've got some fellow podcasters, Project Nerd, in the house that are joining us right now. They're here at Planet Comic Con. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, formerly fellas.
Well, I am Iggy. I am the owner of Project Nerd, and I guess do a little bit of everything. I blog, podcast, write reviews, and love hitting up the conventions, of course.
Hey, and I'm Bob Garrett. I'm basically his flunky.
That's a good way to explain it.
Very nice.
I mostly do reviews and blogging. And
exactly. You're on the podcast, too.
Oh, yeah, I am on the podcast. I can't remember that sometimes, you know, because somebody else takes over it, so.
Uh-oh. So what kind of podcast, or tell me about your business, because I know that it's multi-layered.
Yeah.
Own other podcasts, or you kind of co-op other podcasts?
Well, we are ultimately Project Nerd, so we consider ourselves the Geek Blog, and that's where it started. It was just a blog, just trying to get some geeky content out there, pop culture stuff. And then, of course, we wanted a podcast, video content, hit up conventions, all that. The biggest thing, though, is we don't always get every nerd category we want to hit, so we've just been reaching out to other smaller podcasts and letting them broadcast the same way they always have, but share it across our platform and our network so they can reach more people. So there's a variety of different ones that are on there.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
And is this your guys' first time to Planet Comic-Con?
No, we've been coming. I've personally been coming to Planet Comic-Con for 5 years. We've exhibited now 2 years in a row.
Okay.
So, Bob, I don't know.
This is my first.
Your first? What do you think?
It's good. I tell you, it's very organized. It's very organized. I mean, we were in Denver last year, and it was a little crazy, but this is everything's been running really smooth.
And they, yeah, from con to con, you can definitely tell the organizations that put time into keeping these things within a control, because, yeah, you get all these people in this in a place like this with all these costumes. The fandom takes over, man. Especially when they start seeing, you know, the Star Trek guys, man. Jonathan Frakes and people like that. They freak out, you know, and go after those autographs, pictures, you know. The mob mentality takes over. So, yeah, there are definitely cons that do it better than others. Oh, can we?
Just pick up the whole stand and hold it. It's fine.
Is that a little bit better to communicate here?
So I have to ask, so we were telling somebody earlier, my problem is I spend more money than I make when I set up a convention. So have y'all geeked out and bought anything yet?
Oh, yeah. My family and I have gotten into Doctor Who.
Okay.
So everybody's gotten a little Doctor Who souvenir so far. And the kids are actually out right now scouting for more.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah,
I
absolutely
haven't bought anything, but I'm going to.
Well, you're a good con shopper. You wait till Sunday. You wait for the deals, right?
Oh, see, I didn't know that there were deals. I'm waiting till tomorrow.
Sometimes the artists will cut, especially the bigger stuff they don't want to take back with them, might give you a little deal on Sunday. So a little con advice right there.
So, come back out here tomorrow afternoon is what you're saying.
This is my first Comic-Con, and I didn't grow up reading a lot of comics. My older brother did, you know, and my mom was a Trekkie, that kind of thing. So I grew up around it, and I enjoyed it. And Dune is my all-time favorite movie, David Lynch. But this experience is new for me, so I don't even know what I would be looking for in terms of memorabilia.
It's pretty overwhelming.
Right.
It really is,
right.
Especially for your first time. That's why it was good you came out here yesterday.
Yeah.
Because there was fewer people here yesterday. Because if you come right into this, it's just like, holy crap, dude.
Yeah, it's
Spider-Man.
They said they doubled pre-sales from last year to this year.
Nice.
So.
Excellent.
Nice. Well, yeah, they do a good job here. So they're very well organized, and they run a good show. So yesterday you guys talked about you're moving on to Denver. Is that correct? You're thinking about it? What's the future for the
The future is we want to relocate the headquarters to a bigger market to expand even further. We just launched our online store over at Project Nerd, so eventually getting a storefront and all that kind of stuff. Our next convention is actually going to be Chicago, so we'll be at C2E2 in April, and then we'll be at Denver in June as well. And the goal is really to, last year we did pretty much up through June, and then we kind of trailed off for the back half of the year. Although we did get to go to Tallgrass Film Festival, which y'all should check out, being movie critics and all. But we hope to go all year long, really, just to a bunch of conventions. So.
Okay. Excellent. Cool. If you guys want to throw out your contact information, websites, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's Project Nerd, but it's project-nerd.com. If you Google search Project Nerd, our 8 of the first 10 things are all our social media, our main page and everything. If you're into, movie reviews, comic reviews, podcasts, as you mentioned, there's a bunch of them. We're doing interviews. We'll have all kinds of coverage here, and I know cosplay. That's what everybody talks about, the costumes. So we'd love to put those galleries up because that's what everybody looks for. So over the next few weeks, you'll see a lot of what's going on here.
Cool. Excellent.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great to meet you this weekend. Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Take care and keep in touch with us, all right?
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, take care, buddy. Planet Comic-Con, baby.
Comic-Con is underway.
Yeah.
Here at the Tim and Lo Show, we are on the main floor, right next to the main stage, where there is a DJ spinning tracks in the background. And we're just watching people go by, some people stopping and saying hello. Hey there, how you doing? And, and you know, there are just a variety of people. I know that, you know, kind of play and talk about the geek card and how these nerds, and we kind of generalize, but there is a lot of different kinds of people out here.
That's the thing, is there isn't just the Star Trek. I mean, there's... You can separate them by their individual fan bases, and then, you know, you have the ones that they kind of get into Star Trek, Who, Galactica, whatever, you know, and they kind of mix and match their genres, you know, and it's crazy, but yeah, you can't lump them all into one. They're not, you know, and we use that the geek card, the you know, and I mean it respectfully because I'm a total geek.
Right.
I mean, you know, so.
And that's a good thing. I think that, you know, and I am really attracted to, and I think a lot of women are really attracted to just nerdy dudes, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I blame my wife for my nerd side coming out.
She's a nerd?
Well, she... You know, when we'd been together for...
No, that wasn't a question.
Almost. Is she a nerd? Yeah, she is a nerd. I mean, yeah, obvious.
You said obviously.
I mean, obviously she is. But, you know, when we got together, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but the night we didn't go out on our first date. We just kind of, we knew each other, friends, blah, blah, blah. We kind of started talking at a party, you know,
nice.
And this kind of was the night that kind of began our relationship. I had just gotten off work. I got bit by a spider at work. And I had this huge...
Oh, my God, are you Spider-Man?
Dude, I totally told her I was going to turn into Spider-Man. I was just sitting there, and she's like, oh, my God, are you all right? And I'm like, I'm just kind of waiting for my powers to develop.
Right.
You know, and...
I've been checking
probably,
on my web.
She's probably thinking, holy crap, what an idiot. But I don't know, it endeared me to her somehow. And, it kind of blossomed into days... We didn't have anything to do. We'd go out and get comic books or not comic coloring books, and we'd go color. At 20 years old, we're coloring, you know. And then for Christmas, she bought me a Boba Fett action figure.
Boba Fett.
Yeah, and that was kind of the dawning of Tim just unleashing his geek. Well, you know, because when you're growing up, you have it, and in high school, you got to kind of put it away. I guess I did. I felt like I did.
You felt like you had to put it away. That's when you really let it blossom.
Actually,
and bloom.
You know, though, when I was in high school, not that I hit it because, you know, to try to be cool, but it just wasn't as cool to be into this shit the way it is now, you know? So, absolutely, I wish I could go back and, especially, you know, connecting in Facebook, you see so many people that are the diehard fans of the things you have loved your whole life, and you're like, why didn't I have these things? Why didn't we express these common interests then? This guy looks like Hurley over here. Hurley! Does he? I don't know.
Hi.
Is that guy supposed to be Hurley from Lost?
Oh, how are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Are you Link?
Link from the Legend.
That's
yeah.
Right. I love it.
How are you doing, buddy? Are you having fun here? Hold on. Let's get this on. Here you go. Here's a mic. Talk to us for a minute. What's your name?
My name's Nick.
So, how old are you?
I'm 15.
You're 15, so you're here with your family?
I'm here with my brother-in-law over there, dressed up as the Umbrella Corp guy.
Okay.
This guy right here?
Yep.
That's intense. That's all the way out there. I mean, like, he went all the way. I love
that's
it.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you're dressed as Link from Zelda. Is this, you put this costume together yourself?
Yeah. I bought the fabric, the pants. The boots are actually just snow boots.
Yeah.
Made the shield out of cardstock. Gloves are just old gloves.
Yeah.
Faux leather.
Who helped you sew it?
Huh?
Who helped you sew it together?
My Nana.
Your Nana?
Yeah.
Is that your grandmother?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so sweet. Oh, I love when the parents are supportive.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, buddy. All right, well, sign off. Take your car here. This is our podcast. It's a recording, so you're going to be on something someday here. We'll get this show up this week. Listen to our show, all right?
That's right.
All right, man. No. Just take your car, dude. Just take it. That way you know how to find us, all right?
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, buddy. Take care.
We're still at Planet Comic-Con having a great time. I ran into a buddy. So Tim English and I, we are film critics, and so we go to a lot of advanced screenings. And this guy that's sitting down with us, Jason, he is at almost every screening that I've been to.
Right.
I mean, the Avengers, I mean, the Hobbits, I mean, name it, you've been there.
Right, yeah.
And you work for... Children's Mercy by day, right?
Right, right.
But you're movie enthusiast by night.
Yeah, that's me. I like to see all the free movies I can.
See all the free movies I can. So what's the biggest one you've seen so far that you love?
What did I just see this week? Heaven is for Real. That one.
Heaven is for Real.
Yeah, it's about this little kid named Colton. It's supposed to be based on a true story.
Uh-huh.
This little kid, he has his appendix burst, so he winds up going to the hospital, and while they're doing surgery on him, he floats out of his body. He sees his parents. He's like, he sees his mom in one room calling friends to pray for him. He sees his dad yelling at God in the chapel. And then he goes to heaven and God, like, shows him some things. So he comes back and then he's so much of a kid about it. It's so awesome. It's like, he's a 4-year-old kid. So he goes to dad. He's like, hey, dad, I've been to heaven. He's like, oh, really? He was like, yeah, Jesus sat me on his lap and talked to me. Like, oh, okay. He thinks the kid's just playing, you know, just. And then and he's like, oh, I want to go play. He doesn't realize how awesome the experience is. So then later, another day, he comes back. He's like, yeah, this little girl came up to me and she was hugging me. She said she was my sister. And the mom's like, what? It's like she had a miscarriage, and this was the daughter that was in her miscarriage. He met her in heaven. He was like, okay, can I go play now? It's like, what?
Wow.
It's awesome.
Crazy.
So it was a feel-good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Uplifting.
Yeah.
Spiritually encouraging.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, it's liked it a lot.
So that was your favorite thing that you've seen?
So far this year.
This year?
Yeah.
Well, it's just March.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, but there have been a lot of movies this year, even.
Yeah.
Like, considering mainstream and independent.
Right.
Anything that you kind of despised?
I don't know. I mean, we see so many.
Right,
it's
right.
Like,
yes, we do.
It goes in and out. It's like, what? Not a lot sticks. I know there's been some movies with some lousy endings lately. It's like, what movie? There was a movie just like a couple of weeks ago, and I totally hated the ending of it. I can't remember what it was, though.
Huh.
I'm gone.
Was it an action movie? Was it Nonstop?
Nonstop.
With Liam Neeson on the plane.
Oh, no, I didn't see that
one. Oh, you didn't see that
one? I was at another screen in that same night.
Oh, that was, what was that same night? I can't remember.
Was it a Son of God the same night?
That was that night. Oh, okay. There was the Son of God that night. There was Nonstop that night. And then there was Mom's Night Out that night. I wound up going to the wrong theater because I didn't pay attention to my passes. I wound up there and they were like, oh, yeah, well, we got Mom's Night Out here tonight. So we saw that. And that was supposed to be another Christian-based movie where all these women, it was hilarious. These women are like stressed out, totally take care of the family, the kids, the house, everything. The dad goes to work, comes home, and he's zoned out. So the moms are like, I'm stressed out. Can I have some time to myself? The dads know absolutely nothing about how to take care of a kid.
Right.
I'm like, what kind of world is this? Because that's not my world.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, because when you start training the babies, you got to get the husband in on it, too, from the very beginning.
Exactly.
You don't know how to change a diaper? All right, I'm going to show you while I do it. And then, you know.
Right.
Because it's got to,
I've worked from home most of my kids' lives. So, whenever I see a movie and a TV show where the dads are just like
clueless,
completely ignorant,
right?
You know, that's what, you know, you can have the dads like, shit, I don't know, you know, or, but you know, the hell, you know, they wrap diapers on kids' heads, like, oh, I don't know what to do, you know, and it's just like, come on, dude. Dads have way more common sense than that.
Yeah, so. And in that movie, that's one of the things, the mom, the whole time, she's like, okay, I know something's gonna go bad, something's gonna go wrong. But the dads handle it just fine.
Right.
The mom was just stressing being a mom, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing Captain America, though. Got passes for that one. That one's coming
fantastic.
Up.
So. Yes, this guy is the pass king. He gets passes to everything, I swear.
Yeah, there's like, man, I tell you, I go through about 50 websites almost every day just looking for the passes because they come through all these different sites. In other cities, they give out the passes a lot easier. Like, there's websites that you can see every day they got passes for something, but Allied Marketing here in Kansas City, they kind of stingy with the passes. They give it to certain people, certain companies.
Right.
It's not,
Yeah, that's a press agency that we go through. So, but I know you're on GoFobo and
GoFobo, and then Sony Screenings just made their own website like GoFobo, and then what was that other one? Fox Searchlight. Now they've got their own website, like GoFobo. Everybody's taking up their own thing, so that GoFobo doesn't have control of everybody's passes.
There you go.
Right. You know, they can distribute them how they want to.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I look forward to seeing you soon for another screening. Captain America, I'm definitely going to get to it. Divergent is next
week. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I got that pass, too.
Nice.
Yes.
There's something else the same night as Divergent. What is it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, it's Bad Words, the Jason Bateman movie.
Yeah, I heard.
It's Jason Bateman?
I heard some things about that one.
I haven't heard. Is it anything good?
Oh, no.
No. It's like he's the most horrible role model in the world.
Really?
He's around kids and he teaches his kid how about boobs. He like pays for a hooker to show the kid the boobs, and he's like, I want to touch them too. He's like, what? And then he's teaching the kid how to cuss. It's like, what?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I love Jason Bateman. When he came back, you know, I just was like, wow, I'm on board with this, you know. But my daughters will literally kill me in my sleep if I don't take them to see Divergent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they've read all of those books.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. See, my daughter, she's just now reading Twilight. So she's like, this is so much better than the movies. Like, yeah, I tried to tell you that from the beginning.
Did you read Twilight?
Did I? No.
You didn't read them?
No. That's one of them I skipped over because, you know, it's more touchy-feely. But I usually read all the book movies. You know, that's,
especially when you see a movie like that, it's good to read the you know, what it's being, the original source, you know.
Right.
So, you know, because you can often watch a movie and be like, I can tell there's things missing that I should probably know.
Yeah.
So you have to read it to really get in all that background information.
Right, yeah, because they can't tell you what the character's thinking and feeling without the character talking to themselves in a monologue, and that's just, kind of takes away from the story.
For me, that's always the biggest problem I have, because I had that problem with the first Hunger Games, because I haven't read the books.
Exactly.
And when Rue dies, you know, I was just like, I'm leaning on my wife, like, is that a big deal? She's like, oh, she's, you know, in the book, it's like this and this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not getting that as, you know.
Yeah, the majority of the Hunger Games books is about Katniss and her feelings about everything and how she's dealing with stuff in her mind, and that's the best part about it.
Yeah.
So it's
I love this. Two dudes talking about Katniss and her emotions.
My daughter's dressed as Katniss and her little friends, Rue, they're out here. This is their first Comic Con.
Nice. That's cool. That's cool. How old are your kids?
My daughter is 11, and her little friend's 9.
Nice.
She's Rue.
Yeah, my daughter's out here, too. She's also 11. My two boys sitting over here just kind of kicking back. So,
yeah,
they're loving it out here, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's the time when they can come out here and see all the little things they're into just manifested in front of them, you know.
Yeah.
Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who. What you know, whatever it may be, you know.
Yeah, I love seeing all these people in their costumes, especially the ones that aren't just a straight costume. It's a little creative. Like, you got somebody who's a Jedi, but they're a zombie, too.
Right.
Or you got, you know, a little bit of twist, a little bit of creativity. That's the best part about the costumes.
And then there's the ones where they're so obscure that you're not sure if they're in costume, you know? It's just like,
yes. Like,
I think you're supposed to be something, I just don't know what it is,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Like this Catholic schoolgirl, maybe?
All right. Like, yeah, that's probably something from an anime.
Yeah.
But,
anime, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. This guy's got long hair. He could be Thor right here.
Right?
Thor on his off day.
Right? Where's your hammer?
Yeah, Comic-Con, Thor. He's just here to hang out, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw the tallest dude ever in here.
I saw the tallest woman ever.
Was it Wonder Woman?
Yeah. Like, whoa, you're taller than me. I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
We had Marlon Wayans here, and he was like, holy shit, look at that Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hilarious.
I didn't really see her.
Oh.
But
she's a big woman.
Yeah.
She was tall. I mean,
the
tall.
The guy was 7 foot. He said he was 7 foot.
Oh, man.
What was
Andre the Giant, like 8 feet tall?
He's in the 7 foot. I don't know how big, but
like, how can you even have a girlfriend that tall? It's like, stand on this chair so I can kiss you.
Right. You know? I know. But we have plenty of guys who are like 6 foot something who date girls who are like 4 foot something.
Okay, because that's me and my wife. My wife's 4'11", I'm 6'2".
Well,
yeah, you know, it's okay, but 7 foot, that's, you gotta have a limit there. It's,
well, you know, somebody who's 5'9".
Yeah, you gotta have a tall
Or like that woman, she was, you know, as tall as you. You said she was taller than you.
Yeah, she was taller than me. Yeah.
Maybe, you know, got to get the right girl.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing about tall women, they wind up with big feet a lot. You know, a tall 6-foot-something woman, she got, like, size 13 feet. That just kind of...
Oh, you
got to
share shoes with her. Yes.
Yeah, it's a whole nother world once you get that tall.
Yes, it is. You have to special order your shoes at that point. Because
yeah.
I don't think that there are any lady shoe shops where you can walk in and order a size 13.
Yeah, I hear Paris Hilton's got really huge, long feet. You know, that's why a lot of the shots they do of her, they keep her feet out of the shots.
That's funny.
Maybe they should just keep her out of the shots.
Wow.
Right. Well, I think we'd all be better off if that was there. Maybe we just don't take this picture.
No reason for
maybe
you to be
popular.
Maybe
we quit giving
anymore.
Her attention. Yeah. She didn't do anything to begin with.
No,
her dad owns a hotel.
Right.
I think we've had enough.
Her dad owns one hotel. Right.
Hotel. Man, I saw a stormtrooper out here. It looked like he was going to a job interview. Had on a full suit and tie.
Nice.
And I would go up to him and be like, hey, so what's with your costume? He's like, I don't know. I just wanted to do something different. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Well, hey, that's different. That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, a little variety.
Absolutely.
So are we, we're going to get some people to come say hi to us over here at our table. We just saw Iron Joe walk by.
Yeah, he's wandering through. I think he's ready to talk to us.
Yeah, he's going to come see us. And we're going to get some other people to come say hey.
Yeah.
Tim's going to put his thing down, put the magic on it. Oh, look at that baby.
Oh, yeah, Captain America in his wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
I had to get a picture of him.
A picture of him.
Yeah.
He is adorable.
All right, let me get out of here. I got to grab the kids.
Well, thank you for sitting down with us, Jason.
Right, no problem. Thanks
and
for having me.
We'll see you soon.
All right.
And when you get that cute picture of that little kid over there, send it to us on Facebook.
Right.
Okay, right now we're joined by Jason Turner, and Chris. What's your last name?
Jensen.
Chris Jensen. These guys are working on a new series, The Iron City Chronicles. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about The Iron City Chronicles?
Well, Iron City Chronicles is a futuristic noir short film, hopefully going to be spun into a series soon. It follows a futuristic detective and cyborg as he investigates a series of bizarre and kind of creepy murders.
Cool. And now, where'd your inspiration come from on this?
I've actually been interested in knights and armor and things like that. There's a lot of people that look at knights in armor and they recycle those stories a lot. This is kind of like recycling that story in a futuristic time. And I'm also a big fan of the film noir genre. I'm a huge fan of Blade Runner, RoboCop, Deus Ex, the video game series. And Chris and I have been collaborating on this for a while, and we like the idea of a futuristic detective. In a way, he's kind of like Iron Man, but he doesn't have any money. So he was part of a program that actually got shut down. So he's like an incomplete cybernetic person, but he's not all robot. He's actually still human underneath his metal parts. And as the story progresses, the whole story is based on the concept of transhumanism. And that's kind of where we've been going with it. I mean, it's a really, really broad concept, but excited about the story and excited about how people react to the look of Iron Joe.
Well, yeah, I've been following kind of your production since you guys got started. It looks amazing. I mean, the early footage you've shown online looks incredible. So, you know, we're really excited to see it. Talk about some of your other films that you've done. You had a film in Terror on the Plains a couple of years ago.
I think it was Blind Date?
Yes.
Blind Date, yeah. Blind Date. That was one of our cast members, Crystal Hybe. Chris Jensen shot that one, and I direct and acted in it. And I rode a motorcycle with a Calvin Klein jacket on and no helmet. That was crazy. It was kind of like my love letter to David Lynch and all things weird and Lynch. There's a lot of particular homage to the film Blue Velvet in it.
Right.
So I'm definitely a child of the 80s, and that was my love letter to 80s Lynch, if you will.
We pride ourselves on, you know, being children of the 80s as well.
Absolutely.
You know, because I think... there's so many iconic movies that came out in that time that if you didn't grow up with Ghostbusters and The Karate Kid and those kinds of movies, then you can't really appreciate them, you know, now. So, especially now that it's all being remade. And they all look better,
yeah,
you know. But
they look better and they have better special effects, but sometimes, you know, it feels like there's a lot of ideas that are being recycled, you know. And one of the things we've tried to do with Iron City Chronicles is we acknowledge that somebody has done stuff that we've done before, but we don't care. We're just trying to do it and do it differently. I'm really a big fan of cosplay. I think there's some really cool cosplay stuff.
Yeah.
I see some really amazing costumes. And I was like, Jensen and I were talking about this. It's like, what if somebody had those skills and put that kind of artwork and production value into a costume? And that's why our costumes look as awesome as they do. And when we couldn't do it, we had to get some help.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Absolutely. Go ahead. So what are your plans for Iron City Chronicles when you guys are... Are you guys done with the... No, it's a web series, right? Is it going to be kind of an ongoing...
The initial concept was to do like a 10-episode web series, but we've actually kind of been in the challenges of getting the costumes and everything put together right. We decided to go with a short kind of preview film, which is upcoming called Bitter Heart, and that one should be hopefully out within the next month or so. And we're continuing shooting right now. We shot on Friday, and I think, again, tonight we're going to shoot some more. That's for a secondary episode done by a guest director named Yohei. What's Yohei's last name?
Yohei Ishihama.
Okay, so he's guest directing for us. It's a great vision. We're hoping to have him help us expand the universe. We've got a few other episodes planned, and there is a script written out for the majority of the web series now.
Yeah, and one thing we're trying to do is we're trying to attract people that are interested in the project and we give them basically the Iron City Chronicles primer or Bible. And we've actually talked to some other directors who have shown interest, and it's quite an undertaking because of the costume and everything. But some people have asked us, like, I would like to do a story in your universe. It's like, we've got a ripe universe that Jensen and I have been working on forever, and it's not for the faint of heart. It's definitely a huge undertaking.
Yeah,
and Yohei was the first guy
too to be able to outsource stories, you know, to really build that universe, because then you can kind of interweave them. And kind of have, you know, this character shows up here, is in the background here, and if you've seen this episode, you get this episode. But, you know, not in a way that, you know, you have to see him, but, you know, it just helps with the continuity. It kind of gives, you know, a little broader stroke of the characters. That's a really good idea. Is this your first time out here?
Actually, this is my first time at a Comic-Con. I'm like shaking from overstimulation.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Really cool. I mean... This is definitely the type of audience that we're trying to reach out
Absolutely.
To. And, you know, when people say, hey, I like your costume, and we're like, yeah, and they're like, what's that from? And we say, well, it's from a web series we're working on. It's like, I've never heard of it. It's like, you will.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, it's great marketing because you are getting those people that come up to you and they're inquiring. You know, and there's so many people, everybody kind of, oh, it's Captain America, it's Daenerys Targaryen, or, you know, different characters. But you've got something, that people have to come up to you and say, what the hell are you supposed to be?
Yeah.
You know? And because they can't go, oh, he must be from, and maybe even try to guess that you're from some series. You know, you do look truly unique.
Yeah.
You know, so that it definitely is going to get people to ask those questions.
One of the things that people have noticed is that the Iron Joe costume reminds them of something. I've had some people say, oh, that kind of looks like C-3PO. And so I'm going to post a picture of me standing next to R2-D2 and show how different that I look than C-3PO.
You got to get the 3PO pose with his hand kind of.
Yeah, I actually put my hand on R2's leg, so, you know,
there
I think
go.
R2 was uncomfortable at that point.
there you go.
You know, there's other people that say it kind of reminds me of a character from Hellboy, you know.
Yeah.
So Iron Joe has a very blank face, so people can project their own perceptions onto what his face is. Some people are frightened by the face. And some people say, oh, that looks cool. I have, like, night and day reactions from kids. I'll have kids that want to get a picture with Iron Joe, and then there'll be other kids that are, like, they're slowly backing away.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not going near that dude.
But, you know, that's
awesome, though.
The whole thing is Iron Joe is basically, he starts out as a cop, kind of a secret agent kind of thing, and the program gets shut down, and eventually he just becomes, like, this out-of-work detective, you know. And he has a holographic assistant played by Jesse Burkett. Interestingly enough, her name is Jess, and she's like a digital Tinkerbell.
Right.
And she has brought so much life. She's like the yin to Iron Joe's yang. We're really, really thrilled about that.
Very cool. Very cool. And you write, direct, you're directing this? Am I correct?
I'm just directing the Bitter Heart episode.
Okay. Right.
Yohei Ishihama is directing the Iron Knight episode. And we've had some other directors talk to us. Chris Jensen has got an episode that he's working on that he wants to direct. And since he's lived with the project so long, he's got some really good insight into the characters. And we've got some other people we've been talking to, too, and I don't want to drop their names because I don't want to put them on the spot.
Sure,
but
sure, sure.
There are some directors that have shown interest.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, there's so many great people in Kansas City to work
Absolutely.
With. Absolutely. You know.
How long is each episode going to be?
This first episode, right now, we're looking at hopefully no more than 10 minutes, you know, if we have it lean as possible. But, if you know, we're just going to see what the rough cut looks like, and we're hoping maybe, you know, if there's enough story in there, we're going to say, you know what, we've got enough material here. Even if we trim all the fat, it might be enough as a 40-minute kind of pilot episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, so we're kind of playing with that. And there's a possibility we might even combine the two episodes as two sides of one coin in the same universe. So it could even be a feature length. We're still kind of playing with the ideas.
That's a great idea. Do you want to tell everybody where they can follow your stuff at?
Yes. Please check us out at IronCityChronicles.com. We are on Facebook. I believe it's on Tumblr is Joe's Mailbox. And we're just basically type in IronCityChronicles.com and you'll find us. We have a YouTube channel as well. And, yeah, so we got a trailer up on the Iron City Chronicles website page. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming out, and we really, really, really want people to just embrace filmmaking community because in Kansas City it's happening.
We need to unite all these people.
Yeah.
We went to a screening last night where Marlon Wayans came down and hosted a Q&A, and we need to get more things like that. If we can unite this community, all these amazing artists and talented people here, we can start, you know, we can build this market up a little bit bigger so we can start getting more stuff filmed here, start getting tax breaks, stuff like that we need to happen, and really put Kansas City back on the map. And that's, you know, that's something that I want to do with, like, Pop Film, is I'm trying to, you know, get people together and unite everybody. I think that's the best way to do. Well, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah,
if there's anything we can do to help promote you guys, anything at all, we'll get you on again here in a few weeks or something. And
awesome.
When you get a few episodes in and talk to you a little more.
Thanks
a lot. Have a lot of fun out here today, all right? Nice to meet you. He's awesome, dude. Digging what they're doing. I can't wait to see more of Iron City Chronicles.
Yeah, they've been releasing trailers and stills and stuff like
that. It's incredible.
Shaping it looks,
and that's
so phenomenal. Like, they spend $1 million on this thing, you know?
I think anybody who's out there who's listening to this show who wants to get into filmmaking, you have to know you don't need millions of dollars, $1 million budget, to make a good movie.
Right.
What you need to do is you need to go out and find people that you can trust who can do the work
networking,
you need,
yeah.
And who can do it well, you know? I mean, and there's
cultivate all kinds of good relationships with
Absolutely.
Them. Yeah.
And we've talked about, a little bit with Alden today. Go to IFC meetings. If you're in Kansas City, go to an IFC meeting on a Wednesday night. If you're not in Kansas City, find out what's going on in your city where filmmakers are getting together. Every place, every town's got one of these, you know.
I would see that IFC and raise you a KC WIFT meeting.
Absolutely.
Thursdays, one Thursday a month, networking meetings. Some of the most influential people in the film industry in Kansas City attend those KC WIFT meetings. And they're a little different from the IFC. They have a partnership. KC WIFT and IFC have a partnership. But what you get when you go to IFC is more like you watch films, find people who actually have equipment. If you're casting, you can do your casting call. You know, you can talk about projects that you have. And KC WIFT, they bring people in to do informationals and panels. And I mean, I guess they're really similar, but there is a little bit of a difference.
Well, you know, the point is just to find a group where you can meet other people with like minds.
Exactly.
You know, if you need somebody who can direct your script, who can write a script, who can be a director of photography or, you know, run sound for you or score a movie for you or whatever you need, there's plenty of places to go to do it. And, you know, you don't need to go out and get a budget of like $100 million to, you know...
We have a podcast. It's called The Tim and Lowe Show. It's online. And we're recording here at Comic-Con KC 2014.
this year, so, or today. Today.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, if you're there's lots to do. If you want to get into film, do it. Don't sit around and say there's not these opportunities in the place where I live. We're in Kansas City. We're about as far from the coast as you can get without going to the other coast. So find something. Do something. You know, one thing we need to do, and this is Comic-Con, but we do need to do a movie review this week. Did you see anything this week?
Not anything that came out.
Not anything you can review. That's right. You saw something else.
I saw Enemy.
Yeah, we'll get to
that later. The Jake Gyllenhaal. And that comes out on the 25th, I believe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a couple weeks down. I saw Need for Speed, the video game-based movie starring Aaron Paul.
So you did go.
And Dominic Cooper and Imogene Poots. And
Imogene Poots. That's the girl that was in...
Fright Night remake.
Oh, she was?
I think she was
in.
I haven't seen a lot of stuff.
No, she was in
Imogen.
The movie with the three best friends.
Three Musketeers? Hangover?
Did you just say Three Musketeers?
I was just thinking about three dudes.
With Michael B. Jordan and I can't think of the cutie from High School Musical.
Zac Efron? Is he the cutie?
Yes, he is.
And I'd be slapped because you said the cutie from High School. I was like, oh, I totally know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes, you do. I wasn't gonna mention that.
Well, that dude's all over the place right now, too. He's got a couple movies out now, or he's got another one coming out. He's one out, one coming out. And he's another guy that's been on the top of all the Star Wars casting rumors. So Zac Efron's just everywhere. Oh, and then I heard the other day that they want to do another High School Musical.
With the same cast?
Yeah, he said, we all get together and we just give each other this look like we're all part of something special.
We are a part of something special. It is incredibly
special. I like when actors
say
stuff like that. But it's true, whatever. It's all good. So yeah, I saw Need for Speed.
Tell me about Need for Speed. Need this speed?
No, I don't think you need to see it if that's what you're asking me. No. If you have a need for speed, watch Top Gun. Because you're definitely going to get
watch
something.
Top Gun?
You know, they got that's the thing. I got the need for speed.
Right.
Well, that's like the whole, even the tagline in the movie trailers for this one was, you know, if you've got the need for speed or some crap like that. But
nice.
You know, here's the thing with the movie. It's, well, I don't know. I can't say it's not well written. It's just written to a point where it's all a lot of the cliches. Aaron Paul, who played Jesse Pinkman on Breaking Bad, plays Toby. Toby is like a super badass race car driver that does all these little road races, street racing, stuff like that. Has a garage with a bunch of guys that are, I think, supposed to remind the audience of the boys and the girls in Fast and the Furious, how they have their little team of people. You know, they kind of got a little group like this where they've got all these individual personalities that make up a part of the team. And so it kind of tries to do that. And there's some really cool racing scenes, and all the action's really good. But when the racing stops and the people start talking, it's, you know, it's just blah, blah, blah. But
when the racing stops.
But, you know, you got guys like Aaron Paul and Dominic Cooper, who's the bad guy. He played Howard Stark in Captain America.
Oh, right on.
He was also the bad guy in Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. He was the guy that trained him.
Oh, in Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter?
Yeah.
Oh, the dark-haired fella.
Didn't they all have dark hair?
You know what?
They're vampires.
Right.
Don't they have dark hair except for Kiefer Sutherland or something?
Right? Ah, yes. Now that's a vampire movie right there.
There you go. There you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lost Boys. When's the last time you saw that?
Dominic Cooper. The last time I saw Lost Boys, it's been a while. I love that movie, though.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so good, dude.
It's amazing.
But anyway, Dominic Cooper's good in it, but he's not given much to do. I mean, you know, it's just the cheesy, you know, somebody gets killed, wrong guy goes to jail, he wants revenge, so he decides to get involved in this unsanctioned, unlicensed, dangerous, private road race that's run by this guy that's on this video podcast that's played by Michael Keaton, who would literally have been the most obnoxious character in a movie that I've seen in a long time had it not been played by Michael Keaton. But he's there. So it's got a weird cast, and it's just,
Cast.
It's fun to watch, but ultimately fairly forgettable, you know what I'm saying? So lots of familiar faces out here today, dude. That's why I'm loving this so much, man. So much. Good old Steven right there, man. He's good people.
He is good people.
So, yeah, so we hopefully we're going to have a couple more guests stop by here. You know, what's going on with you otherwise?
Nothing.
We didn't get, you know, because of Comic-Con, we didn't get the little Lonita update at the beginning of the show today.
Well, I work, and it was also Big 12 this week, so I've had a very eventful week. I will be sleeping sometime soon, hopefully. KU lost yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
So it was just kind of like, but we have today left of Big 12, and hopefully some, who is it, Oklahoma? That's still in. Who's
it's
still
Iowa
in there?
State and somebody else. After KU gets beat, I stop caring.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So KU's well, your team.
KU's my team. I mean, through the Big 12 tournament, obviously, my attention will come back on when the big tournament starts, but I don't know. You know,
they weren't playing defense.
Yeah, it's Iowa State and what'd you say, Oklahoma?
Maybe
they lost to Iowa State.
No, who's Iowa State playing today?
Texas or Baylor.
I tell you what, we're at Comic-Con.
Well,
nobody here knows, dude.
I'm sure
somebody is, but most of these people do not give a damn that there's a basketball tournament going on two blocks away from here.
Right. And
there
so
we go.
It's just two blocks.
We got Nick
Iowa
on the mic
State,
here.
I think it's Iowa State, Texas.
Iowa State, Texas. This is my boy Nick. He was here with us a couple weeks ago.
That's right, talking
listening.
About the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Giving us his rundown, his mini review, his miniature.
Nick also saw Need for Speed. Nick, what did you think? From a 14-year-old perspective, tell us about Need for Speed.
It was all right. It was
all right.
I like Fast and Furious movies better. It's entertaining at some parts, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah, and I think one of the cool things about the movie is that it didn't rely on CGI for all the car crashes. Those were all staged, actual wrecks. Oh. Old school days, so that was kind of cool. So, yeah, if you're a car junkie, love racing movies, or just cheesy movies, you know, with some good action. It's a movie.
It did have good action.
Yeah, the car races are fun to watch, you know. I mean, but, you know. And for some people, that's enough. Sometimes you just want to sit down. You just want to watch things go fast and blow up and, you know, not have to think too much. And this is a good movie for that. And especially March right now, that's all that's coming out right now is just mind-numbing movies, you know.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you think, right? Something
right.
Like that. So, yeah. Rolling along here at Comic-Con. Need for Speed being the big movie this week.
Were there any others that came out?
No, I think that was it. We didn't even do KC Live this week. A, because of Marlon, but B, because I think they were just like, nobody gives a damn about Need for Speed. You know, I would say probably the Kansas City Live audience are not the people who are running out to see Need for Speed this weekend. And that's not over or under generalizing the Kansas City Live audience. That's just for me being one of the film critics telling those good people, you probably didn't even need to hear me tell you not to see it. To know not to see it. So, ready to go?
Okay. All right, welcome to the Tim and Lo Show.
We are here right now with...
who's this Tim and your Lo?
I am Lonita.
Okay. And
Tim English.
Tim English.
It is an absolute
Lonita.
Honor to meet you, sir.
Doesn't get no sweeter.
There you go, buddy.
Lonita.
Daryl DMC McDaniels kicking it with us on the Tim and Lo Show today at Planet Comic Con. Tell us a little bit about your book, first of all.
Well, before I got into music... I was a kid growing up in Hollis, Queens, New York. And for me, it was school, you know, getting that education, straight A student. I went to Catholic school my whole life.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, I was a good student, but for me, the comic books was very empowering. comic books was very informative, educational, and also comic books gave you confidence as a kid. Because when you think about, you know, the things that kids nowadays deal with, kids and grown people too, there's always a lot of pressure. There's a lot of, you know, bullies and, you know, antagonists and protagonists and all of that coming at you. The comic books was a way to give you a little confidence about yourself.
Yeah.
To go into a universe of, you know, power and
strength. And beauty. So, lots of beauty.
A lot of beauty. So, you know, for the past 30 years, people was always coming to me with comic book ideas to do a hip-hop comic.
Yeah.
And over the 30 years, I wonder why it never really worked. The reason why it never really worked, you don't do a hip-hop comic. You do a comic book.
Right. And I just want to, how did hip-hop and comic kind of... Is it an easy marriage?
Yeah, it's an easy marriage because when we was younger in New York City, it was comic books going to the park, the DJing and MCing.
Right.
And playing basketball, playing sports. So people don't realize that it was already there. You know, and a lot of the older people that I speak to, you know, the thing that made hip-hop so powerful was it wasn't done by corporations. Hip-hop wasn't created by the record labels.
Right.
The typical MC or DJ or rapper was 12 to 22 years old. And what we was doing? We was playing comic books, breakdancing and rapping and scratching.
Right. So it's kind of effortless then.
Right, it was effortless.
So get back to why it took 30 years then.
Well, it took 30 years because I needed to meet the right people to help me do it. I didn't want to do a comic book where it's about me. My comic book, even though it's DMC comic book, Down Makes Comics is a company, it's a celebration of comic book culture. All the artists and all the writers.
Fantastic.
You know, I don't want to be the rapper coming in and mess up another genre.
Right.
Because rappers have a good habit, a bad habit of messing up everything.
Of crossing over. That's right.
This is official. This isn't, you know, I'm just the catalyst. But we want to create a universe that everybody, young, old, black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian, can participate in.
Right.
The same thing, Run DMC did when we hooked up with Aerosmith.
Yes.
The same thing Run
DMC revolutionary,
did when we hooked up with Adidas.
Yes.
It's the same thing that I want to do with integrity, class, and style for comic book culture. Put it on a map because one of the new sayings I created is the geeks run the world.
The geeks
is the coolest thing on the face.
Who run
not
the world?
Not the gangster. The geeks.
So I have one last question. So when you're merging hip-hop and comic books, what impact do you think that'll have on identity of a new youth, of the next generation?
It's going to give each individual the confidence not to be ashamed of who they are, and creatively, whether it's through art, whether it's through writing, whether it's through music, whether it's through spoken word. And the comic books is visual. So it's all about style, too, and like you're saying, an appearance.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's all about, like you said at the beginning of this interview, allowing the person to creatively expose their inner beauty.
Their inner beauty.
That's what it is. Because that inner beauty is a reflection of your outer beauty.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to do it through the art, through the writing, and through the style of the comic book.
And is that what comic books are? Because my brother grew up loving comic books, but, you know, I adored him, but I wasn't versed in it. But is it more about your perception of beauty? When I look at the drawing and the big muscles and the tiny waist, is it more about your perception?
It's a reflection of your perception of who you are and what it is.
Yeah. You rock. You're awesome.
But thank you. You're awesomer. I'm awesome, but you're awesomer.
I love you.
All right. No, it's a real honor to meet you. Talk about, you know, just real quick, even your favorite comics growing up. Did you have any, like, heroes that you...
My favorite comics growing up was Captain America and the Hulk. And then later on, as I got a little bit older, not too much older, when I was like 15 or 16, it became Deathlok, the Destroyer.
Yeah.
You know, because people don't realize comic books for hip-hop. You know, when people say the old school isn't a time period. It was a consciousness. It was a way of that you wasn't ashamed to express your inner self. You know, whether it's through breakdancing, whether it's through graffiti writing. Like, graffiti writing wasn't necessarily bad. It was just bad to write on walls that you didn't own.
That you didn't own.
So it took somebody to say, stop putting the kids in jail and look at the art they created. Whether it was MCing, spoken word, whether it's DJing, whether it's producing. So for us with the comic books, it was growing up, it was like this. It was comic books. It was Bruce Lee, because Bruce Lee had a huge impact on the world. And it was DJing and MCing for us, along with the Adidas and the Pumas and the Gazelles. It was just a whole reflection of our style. It was all about the presentation.
So this new venture in the comics is about preserving as well as pushing forward that culture.
Yeah, we want to give every artist, young and old, we want to give that 52-year-old artist that never got a chance to draw for Marvel an opportunity. We want to give that 8-year-old up-and-coming kid who's going to be the next greatest thing a chance. We want all the writers. We want females. Oh, we want to put female artists and female writers on the forefront. We want to put Latino. We want to put Asian. We want to put German. We want to put Ukrainian artists.
That's right.
Ukrainian and Russian
Serbia.
Artists.
Serbia. Get on down
on
here.
Yeah, so what it's about is creating the DMC universe is a DMC universe that is all of us.
I love what you say here in the front cover. You say, just sit back and prepare for an epic journey through the universe we created for Daryl Makes Comics.
It's going to be an epic one.
Fantastic.
Thank you for
having me.
Thank
you so much for coming by.
This
is amazing.
Thank you.
It has been a pleasure.
Really, really cool.
Thank you. Tim and Lowe is the way to go.
Daryl DMC McDaniels. Thanks very much. That was freaking cool, man.
Yes, it was.
Daryl DMC, dude.
I mean, of America's cultural icon.
I have a picture of me and you and DMC, dude. That's badass.
We're
that
amazing.
Right there for me, that just geeked me out.
I know.
So bad.
I mean,
that
come
was so
on.
Awesome.
The revolution, they are hip-hop. They are American culture. Hip-hop defines American culture. Music, clothing, fashion. I mean, it defines even our poets, our literary fiction.
Absolutely.
Hip-hop is an influence. And that man was a part of the beginning. So, yeah. Phenomenal. Phenomenal day.
Yeah.
On the Tim and Lo Show.
That was kick-ass.
At Comic-Con.
So, that was, yeah, absolutely. Did you grab a card, dude? Grab a card, yeah. Listen to our show, buddy. Thank you. So, yeah, that was great. And very cool for him. I mean, dude came out of his way, came over here to talk to us.
I know. What an amazing
spirit. I mean, we've had so many of these, you know. And they all get...
we just interviewed DMC.
Yeah, we just had DMC. It was badass.
And he would have stayed, but I was just like, all right, we'll see you later.
Yeah, he's got other things to
do.
Yeah,
we didn't want to hog his time. But he was so generous. Oh, it was just amazing.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Thanks for letting us know, because yesterday I was gone for like 45 minutes.
See you, buddy. All right.
Thanks again, guys, for stopping by and talking with us. That was Jason Turner and Chris Jensen from Iron City Chronicles.
People just kind of keep coming back over here and saying hi. This has been a hell of a day. I mean, you know.
Yes.
Crazy, crazy day.
It's amazing. We have
we're gonna go for
Marlon
a little bit
Williams,
longer
DMC.
Here.
Incredible. We have Project Nerd. I mean, we have just random people that are enthusiasts who love this.
Just you know he's doing that just because I just told him that. I just told him that Owen has a It's Tricky radio station. My youngest son, an 8-year-old,
nice,
loves Run DMC.
How could he not? My kids love Run DMC. Oh, she's awesome. I want a photo with her.
We have Pandora Radio. Owen has an It's Tricky radio station. And he just thought that was so cool, man. So that was really cool. Did you get a picture of the Weeping Angel?
No.
All right.
Tricky.
Are Are you going right now?
Yeah, we are. We're recording right now.
We are recording right now, baby.
Grab and a mic and you can talk
to
you.
We've got the baby taking pictures of us, and then DMC's manager is like, you know what, son, I'm going to help you out taking this picture. It's just a cool experience.
That was, oh, wow. That was
just so giving. I love it.
One of the coolest.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of
Captain Jack, the Doctor, and
yeah, I've seen a lot of
Amy Pond.
I've seen a lot of Tenth Doctor.
Yeah, everybody loves David Tennant. So someday Lenita will watch a few episodes of Doctor Who.
I am definitely going to watch.
So when we start saying words
I
like the 9th, the 10th, the 11th,
to go back.
You know what? All you got to do is go back to like 2006. BBC kind of it's a reboot, but it's kind of in the same. I mean, going back
it
to the
continues.
Same. It continues, but they rebooted
the
series.
They rebooted before they remade it.
Well, yeah, it's in the same continuity line. But you could really go back to right then and start watching from there.
We got dudes in tights. Okay.
There are a lot of dudes in tights out here. I have seen more spandex buttocks than I care to.
Yeah. And not all of them are plump female buttocks.
That's right. That's really where, you know, you have to. And, you know, that's also kind of the beauty of this
man.
Thing. These dudes are out here wearing costumes. They have no shame, man.
No shame at all.
That's just the beauty of it.
You can't be ashamed
of your
love.
Yeah, there was a dude dressed like Harley Quinn out here. So you don't have to be a girl to be in a... He's just giving out... Flirting everybody that comes
by. I'm just giving out our card. I'm not flirting.
Yeah.
I smiled. He smiled. And we're here with a purpose, and that is to share the Tim and Lowe show and the awesomeness
that
we are
like
having today.
A dude,
you know, DMC said that I am awesomer. I love him. I've always loved him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Lonita... What are you going to take away from the Comic-Con experience here?
What am I going to take away from the Comic-Con experience? That's a really great question. I'm going to take away... Well, my personality is really... Give us a listen. We just interviewed DMC and we interviewed Marlon Wayans.
Hey, we need to get this guy on our show. We need to get this guy just for a minute.
I've got a remote.
Yes. Hi, thank you.
Folks, this is a Tim and Lowe show first here.
I know, a Tim and Lowe show
first. We're about to turn the tables
the
on our boy Michael Mackey.
Today?
I have been here for probably about 20 minutes. I've never been to a Comic-Con in my life before. It is a little overwhelming. There is so much visual stimuli right now. I don't know who I am or where I am. But I'm having a crazy amount of fun. I just saw Marco Kidder, Eddie McClintock. I've seen a wide assortment of people, of folks here today.
That dude is tall and skinny.
He is huge. And have you seen anything that you absolutely love?
I have not seen anything that I've literally had to stop and make my way over to. But it's fun to see all the Star Trek people start. What was that show that they were on?
Next Generation.
Sorry. Thank you, fandom. Star Trek The Next Generation. It's fun to see them all in a row and all sitting there.
So how's the energy in here? Do you think it's good?
Well, you guys are right around the corner from Run DMC, so you've got the best seat in the house. You got the beats going.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here today. I mean, today is probably going to be the busiest day. So all I know is that I'm totally soaking it all in from top to bottom since I've never done anything like this before.
This is my first Comic-Con, too.
Yes, and I'm here with my friend George, who is going to venture out and do the big San Diego Comic-Con. So he's, like, getting his feet wet today.
Now, are you guys just here because you're in the media, or do you have a geek card, or you have a love for comics?
I am literally just playing dumb consumer today. I just wanted to see what it was all about and have fun. And I've taken my picture with I don't know how many people today. Just fans. I mean, people who are dressed up. I feel woefully underdressed today. Like I need a costume of some sort.
I felt that way, too. I have two little girls, and I couldn't find a tiara in the house.
You could have borrowed mine. Okay. Well, we're off. We got to go. But I'm good to see both of you. We'll see you back on the show next week, okay?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Thank you for stopping
in.
Michael Mackey.
See you, buddy. Michael Mackey, co-host of Kansas City Live, awesome guy. I love that dude too. So that was cool. Then we got to turn the tables on him a little bit. Maybe get that around, baby.
That's right. I that was the most nervous I've been. is interviewing Michael, and I see him all the time. What is up with that?
It's because we're used to being interviewed by them,
yeah,
you know.
That's true.
So when Michael sits down, and we're like, "Hey, let us ask you the questions."
He was here yesterday. Now he's here with his girlfriend, I guess. He was looking good yesterday, and he looking good today.
Oh, I like the R2-D2 hat. So Michael Mackey, Kansas City Live. I don't know where we were when he walked up. We're just kind of soaking all of this in, kind of hoping we can get a few more people to stop by our booth here before we're done here pretty soon. Hopefully Eddie will stop by, you know, but it's so hard. Some of these, they come in here and it's really easy to say, when I have a few minutes.
Right.
But, you know, obviously there's thousands of people here today.
Thousands.
They're being
of people
bombarded
here today
for autograph and photo requests. And, you know, then they got their PR people who are pulling them. Oh, I've already booked you to do this. You're doing this. I've already, you know. And so it's also, you know, it's overwhelming for them too. They get in here and they tell so many people, hey, we're going to, yeah. And then all of a sudden the day's over and, you know,
exactly.
It's, you know, crazy. It's 3 o'clock already. We've been rolling here for close to 3 hours, you know, in and out. But,
yeah.
You know, we've been at it for a few. And
And he said it is visual overload. I'm looking at a girl right now. And it's very interesting what I'm seeing.
That's a visual overload.
It is a visual overload. I mean, she's got some fishnet thigh highs with some combat boots and a midriff, a corset, and a skirt that reveals the lower half of her ass cheeks. I mean, it's some stuff happening.
I like it all.
Comic-Con.
I like it all. I can't say too much because then I'm the typical perverted guy at Comic-Con.
Right, right.
So I leave the pervertedness to you.
I'm a little perverted. I as I'm revealing more of myself. That's the part
that
I seem to be.
Fezzes are cool, man.
But I there's more to me than just my perversion.
Cleaning lady. Just cleaning.
I am full of art.
Full of something. Full of something.
So, we will return momentarily. Looking for our next guest.
Alright, yeah. Alright. We're rolling up on the final the little stretch here, stretch run here of the Tim and Lo Show from Planet Comic Con 2014. And our show's been a little disjointed.
Yes, it
kind
has.
Kind of all over the place because it's been hectic and crazy. And if you've ever been out here, you'll understand why. It's craziness. One thing we were going to try to do to kind of get a little bit of normalcy and level things out here is do a top five.
That's right.
You know, we haven't done one, I don't know, maybe for a couple of weeks. Time to do one. We're going to do favorite comic book movies.
Favorite comic book.
In honor of Planet Comic Con.
That's right.
So I will let you go ahead and start with your numero five. Numero cinco.
Well, I am not hugely versed in comic book movies. I'm going to say just kind of across the board, I like them. So coming up with this top five is a little difficult for me.
Your rankings don't have to stick.
Oh, okay. They don't have to mean...
No. Somebody's not going to be like, number three, Lonita, what?
It's not a contract.
Then you have to defend why it's your third favorite. None of that.
All right. So I'm going to go with one that I just saw. I really enjoyed 300 Rise of an Empire. So I'm going to say that I'm really feeling that.
What is it about 300 that... The 308.
I wanted a clean wrap up. I wanted it to be a happy ending, and I didn't get that. It was the ending that could only happen. I love the visuals, of course. So The acting was strong, of course. I reviewed this film on Kansas City Live, and I gave it a very positive review. But the relationship between the protagonist and the antagonist, the hero and the... What's the female villain called?
The villainess?
The villainess!
You like
that's
that one?
That's right, yes.
That's a good word.
It was complicated. It was complex, and I appreciated that. And without, you know, I can't say what I want to say without a spoiler, so I'm not going to say it. Just, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Eva Green was the villain.
I love your shirt, sir. It says, Joss Whedon is my master now.
And not the same way. It's hard to rank these movies because as different characters, incarnations come through, I kind of, you know, I'll side with one for a while, whether it be Batman or one of the Avengers or Superman, something like that, you know. So I'm just going to throw out as my number five, Sin City.
All right.
Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez. Very stylistic, you know, and just something completely different. And also, you know, it's obviously geared more towards adults, you know, so... Very hyper-violent and sexy, and I think it's just a cool movie. I'm kind of looking forward to the sequel. What is it? A Dame to Kill For is the name of it. So we'll see. That comes out in August, the new one. So that's
looking
my number five. Have you seen Sin City?
Are we wanting my number four?
Yeah, go for it.
My number four, X-Men.
First one?
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. That was, you know, I'd never seen the X-Men before that, and then I completely fell in love, and I had a whole lot of questions about Wolverine, and what's the other dude, Sabretooth, and, it, you know, and all these, and then learning about, you know, storylines and how they have the same characters but different storylines, and so that movie is where I started to learn about comic book culture. You know, because before that, I just kind of taken it for granted, you know. So, and it was well done. Who is that, Bryan Singer on that
yeah,
one?
He did that one. He's coming back to do this new one, X-Men Days of Future Past, which comes out this summer.
Fabulous.
For me, I think the X-Men movies are like what's great and what's almost wrong about the comic book movies right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll say it like this, because the first one was great. And you wouldn't have movies like The Avengers without X-Men, because until X-Men came out in, 2000? Dude, all they'd done is Batman. That's the only character that had been done. Maybe Blade. I can't remember where Blade fell in there.
Oh, yeah.
Blade was Marvel.
Before.
But they did a team in X-Men. They showed, you know, Bryan Singer showed you can not only do another superhero besides Batman and Superman, have it work, you can have a bunch of heroes together and tell, you know, solid stories, you know, and I know comic book fans will say.
So the ensemble hero movie is what paved the way for X-Men, I mean, for the Avengers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't be able to, Joss Whedon would not have been able to do Avengers without Singer having done X-Men back in that day. And for me, though, X-Men 2 was, I thought, a better film. I loved the sequel. I thought it was a great movie. So,
which was awesome, you know,
that's what I was going to say. That's why I asked which one.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you should always maybe go back to that first one.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, well, the significance for me was personal, you know what I mean? And learning about how the mutants really represented these factions of our society who are ostracized because of the way they are, even though they can't help the way they are. When we think about these demographics who experience social backlash.
So that was my... No, that was... Where does that leave us?
Avengers?
No, I said Sin City, and we said X. I'll throw out The Dark Knight, you know, because I'm not going to do these in order, because I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
But The Dark Knight, I think, was a great movie. Because it did something that's really hard to do these days. Batman Begins. We'll just put those together. The Nolan Batman Begins and Dark Knight, I'm gonna just pin together, because Batman Begins did what's hard to do, and it rebooted a character that everybody knew. And, you know,
Two-Face?
Well, no, I'm just talking about Batman in general.
Oh. You
know, Burton had his Batman, Batman Returns. Schumacher came in, did the other horrible movies, Batman and Robin and Batman Forever. And, you know, those movies went uphill and then downhill. And Nolan came in and completely rebooted it and injected some new energy. And then Dark Knight was a great movie because you could take away the Joker in the cowl and you still have an amazing movie about crime and corruption. And, you know, and that's why Dark Knight was such a big success.
Is that the movie that had
Heath Ledger?
Tom Cruise's wife?
Batman Begins had her, and then Dark Knight was the sequel with the Joker,
sequel.
Where Heath Ledger played the Joker. And I did meet Heath Ledger once, a long time ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, in Chicago. It was very cool. He was hardly anybody then. He had just done The Patriot. I stood there and drank a beer with him. That was kind of cool. So, all right, so Dark Knight for me.
Okay,
go to your three.
So my number three is... I'm going to have to go with Iron Man 3, then.
Iron Man 3. And now, why Iron Man 3 and not the first one?
I didn't get it, the first one. Iron Man 3, all of the elements came together, and it did something that a lot of movies are unable to do for me. I am very irritated by most child actors.
Oh, that kid in the got... Ty Simpkin, I think is his name. He was great. They had great chemistry, I thought, together.
Absolutely.
And I've read reviews and heard some people talk. They hated the relationship between those two kids. But I thought that kid did a great job of going back and forth with Robert Downey Jr., which had to be extremely intimidating, you know, to sit there with Robert Downey Jr. and have to have, you know, scenes where you're being smartasses to each other, where you have to talk back to Iron Man, you know?
Right.
You know, and pop off and kind of stand your ground in some spot. And I thought
and
that kid did a great job.
And I liked the part where he had to kind of get in touch with himself.
Yeah.
He had to go away. He had to experience a complete destruction of even the foundation of himself and even his home.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
It was physical, it was emotional, and he had to experience that to get to the level where he could defeat his nemesis.
Right, and it was very much the theme of, you know, it's always kind of the question, is it the man that makes the hero or is it the suit that makes the man kind of a thing? And Tony Stark in that movie realizes that he's a hero because he's a hero.
Yeah.
Not because he has this suit, which
exactly.
allows him to fight the bad guys, but it's the heart, it's that drive that comes within. And, you know, I like Iron Man 3 too, so I take it you have no knowledge of the villain and how the villain was handled, because that's the big thing about Iron Man 3 was all the big fans of Iron Man hated the way the Mandarin was handled.
Yeah, Mandarin.
Because in the comics too, the Mandarin's like Lex Luthor, the Joker, you know, any big...
So what was the part that was concerning?
Well, in the comics, you know, he's Chinese, you know, origin,
he?
And he's all mythical. You know,
yeah,
he has
that's
these
fucked
ten,
up.
Ten rings, ten alien rings that give him these superpowers. And, you know, obviously in this, it was more of a terrorist threat, but it was the facade of the guy pretending to be this Mandarin. You know, so a lot of fans, I think, were turned off by the little sucker punch, which I kind of mind. I didn't mind it personally going, you know.
Right.
You know, the whole that it was an actor. And that it's actually...
Oh, spoiler alert.
What are you talking about, me?
Yeah.
Oh. If you haven't seen Iron Man 3 already, it's your fault.
It's your fault.
It's almost been out for a year. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, Tim, you totally ruined Iron Man 3 for me. You should have seen it already.
Yeah.
I can't be held responsible for that.
I'll back you up on that.
So, but I did like it. And, you know, part of the thing with the Marvel movies right in this series, this Phase 2, Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Captain America, there's a theme going through it.
False
faces. Each one of these movies has had a theme where there's been somebody pretending to be something they're not.
Right.
It's going to link over to Captain America, and it's going to be awesome.
And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Huh.
I think, and I kind of do already know the big plot
twist. So you liked the first Captain America?
I did. You know, I think the thing with the Marvel movies is they're not all individually strong movies,
right.
but as a whole, they're amazing. You know, I mean,
yeah,
Captain America had its weaknesses. The second half of it was kind of boring. The fight was kind of weak at the end. There wasn't a big climactic battle. But yeah, I enjoyed it for what it was. Absolutely. You know, I think Chris Evans did a nice job. So, yeah, where are we at?
All right. So we are
is this
number
my turn
two
for a movie?
Yeah, you're number three.
Okay, let's go with, I'm going to go with Spider-Man 2. The Tobey Maguire second Spider-Man where he fought Doc Ock.
Meh.
Meh. Why? Just why?
That's not the one. Okay, no, I'm thinking of Spider-Man 3.
The one with Venom?
And the Sandman.
No, that
was
horrible.
Okay, the one with Doc Ock.
It was solid.
It was better. It was better than the first one for me.
It was a step up from the first one.
Yeah.
It did what movies should do. What a sequel should do. It should take what was good about the first one, and it should build on it and correct the things that were wrong. And I thought Spider-Man 2 did that, where Spider-Man 3 went the wrong direction.
It did go the wrong direction.
We've talked about Raimi and Spider-Man 3.
I completely loved it when he put on the dark suit, and then he starts strutting down the street. I was like, yeah!
Yeah,
I like cheesy stuff like that.
Yeah, and that, again, you know, was
it's
a movie where the villains were handled probably wrong. But that was a movie where that's the studio interference, I think, on Spider-Man 3. You know, that's where the studio start making money, and they start having their ideas. But, hey, you know, we know you want to do it this way, and you're the creative talent, but we're the people that are going to be raking in this money and counting these dollars when they come in. So we want you to throw these characters in and... more often than not, it ends up muddling the movie up when you have too many characters. You know?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear your number two.
My number two is Batman Returns. Returns with Michael Keaton and Michelle Pfeiffer and Danny DeVito. Just amazing.
I agree. I think it's a great sequel. And a lot of people are like, what the hell is this movie? Dude, that's a movie that took that material and went darker with it.
Yeah, it went very dark.
You know, because everybody was used to the Burgess Meredith penguin from the old TV show, where he's like, wah, 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 you know, and... Danny DeVito was incredibly disturbing in that movie.
Yeah. And it was so sad. That's the thing. He was despicable. He was disgusting. But he was sad.
His parents threw him in the sewer when he was a baby because he looked like a freak,
when
man.
When he bite off your nose, you can't do nothing but kind of just pat him on the back and say, I'm sorry.
That's right.
You're shaped like that, and you ain't got no mama and daddy.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, you know, you can't say anything about that movie without talking about Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
And
still the definitive Catwoman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean...
She was...
Halle Berry swung and missed. Big time.
Unfortunately.
Big time.
And I don't think it was necessarily her all the way.
She was in a... You know, just...
It was a weird script.
It was a... Because they tried to... take it away from the Batman universe almost, you know?
Yeah.
You just can't do that. It's like, hey, we're going to make a Catwoman movie. We just don't want it to be tied into all this. And it's the problem DC has had this whole time is being able to tie these universes together and these characters and do it in a way that audience have shown with the Avengers movies. They want to see movies that connect together. Even if they're not all... Dude, there is some dancing going on over here. What in the hell? Everything going on at Comic-Con.
Everything going on. We got break dancers kind of breakdancing over there.
Yeah. So, all right. Where are we at here?
All right.
I'm getting lost.
You're number two.
My number two. Nick, give me number two. What? For my number two, I'm going to go with, you know what? Let's go back to old school days. Superman.
Yeah.
The original Superman. I'll put as my number two. I tend to go for the Marvel Universe over the DC, so I've got two DC movies on my list here just to show that love. But that guy has a Los Polos Hermanos shirt on. Like your shirt, buddy? Right on. Have a listen to our show. We'd appreciate it. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
But, you know, obviously, Superman was like the, you know, he was the original comic book hero, right? I mean, you know, back in the day, the 30s.
Yes.
But it was the first movie first comic book movie, and it was, you know, made in the 70s, you know, what was it, 78, something like that.
With Christopher Reeve.
At a time when people weren't used to seeing those movies. It was a totally new experience, like Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
And it just blew everybody away. And, I, you know, you can go back and look at the silliness and the campiness of it, but there's just still such a beauty to that movie. And I will also say Richard Donner's version of Star Trek II. There was a theatrical release, and then there was the director got fired like halfway through the making of it because the studio was like, no, do it this way. And he actually got a chance to go back and re-edit his footage and add stuff in that he shot that was
nice.
Never shown before. And it's a much better.
Of course.
Josh, have you seen the other Superman 2?
You can watch some of it on YouTube, right? Yeah.
So that's my number two.
It's a fantastic number two. Superman was going to be on my list. I remember seeing Superman or Superman 2 in 3D at the theater.
That was the third one. That was the one with Richard Pryor.
When 3D meant something.
Yes.
You know? So it's like, wow. But moving on to number one. My number one is Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this movie.
It's because they refuse to make it.
Oh, you know why they don't? They don't think the world's ready for a female superhero.
Bastards.
Can you believe that? Yeah, I think what is the best part of that story is at one time you loved Joss Whedon.
Yes.
Did you know that Joss Whedon wrote a Wonder Woman script?
I did, and I think that there's nobody better. I mean, you know, I think Joss Whedon can do just about any friggin' thing.
And he can write women well.
Yeah, he writes women well. If you need a guy to pin this thing, he's your man.
Yeah.
And he's got the humor. He knows when to allow his characters to be just badass. And then he knows when to let them lighten up and be emotive. I cannot believe this movie hasn't been made. It's my number one. Make it happen. Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and they went to he wrote a script, and I think he had Kobe Smulders in mind, allegedly, that's a rumor. But yeah, he went to him and was like, I've got a script for how to do this as a movie. And I think they were nobody wants to see a movie about a woman superhero. And I think at the time, this is the best part, is they were like, you're not even a big enough director to come to us with something like this, you know? So Warner Brothers in DC just has to be kicking themselves in the balls over telling Joss Whedon to take a hike, you know, and especially after Avengers came out. So what are we looking at, Linnea?
Is that the penguin right
That's
there?
That's the penguin right there. Wah, 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 wah.
He was dancing. I think they're doing a dance-off, man.
So, all right, number one?
Number one.
Speaking of Joss Whedon, the Avengers.
Woo!
Marvel's The Avengers. My opinion, it's one that's just nailed it. Hey, buddy, what's up, man? How are you?
How are you, my friend?
Good.
And
good,
Loki's
good.
In it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're recording.
Yeah, we're recording. You want to sit down with us for a minute? All right, this is Timothy Sweeten.
I am Terrible Tim, that's right.
Terrible Tim.
That's right, from Drive-In Movie Maniacs. Have you not seen my show?
I don't know. Have I seen your show?
No. Do you live in Johnson County?
No, I do not.
Oh, well, maybe not then.
Oh, are you on TV?
We are. We're on the Johnson County Community College Station. They're in JUCO, at the JUCO station.
Is it on the Education Channel, Channel 17?
Yes, it is.
Yes. I used to have a show on the Wyandotte County one.
Oh, yeah, at the Kansas City, what is it?
KCKCC.
Yes. We may be on them in a couple of months, actually.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're going to have some fun with that.
So what's your show about?
Drive-In Movie Maniacs is a throwback to the old horror host days of yesteryear, and you know, like Cremation Mortem used to do in Kansas City, and Friday Fright Night, all the classics from the 1980s that I used to watch.
That's right.
And Cremation Mortem actually passed me the torch this year, so I am Kansas City's official horror host.
Ooh,
and I'm so
congratulations.
Excited. It's a lot of fun. And last night we started airing every week on Johnson County Community College television, like I was saying, at midnight on Fridays, and then they rerun us at 2 a.m. on Saturdays. So you have to stay up late.
Yes, I can do that.
You can do that. You better
stay. I'm good
stay
at it.
I know.
So
Tim also does the Horror on the Boulevard.
I do.
In the summers, which is a good time. We always go out to that. My daughter actually last year won the costume contest.
Oh, my goodness.
She was dressed as the Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. You remember?
Game of Thrones. Remember? That's right. She had the... Was she the one with the dragons?
With the dragons,
yes,
that's right.
Yes,
that's right.
I remember
so,
that.
Yeah, so that's... big pride for us that my daughter went to a horror
awesome.
Show and won a costume contest.
And was your son not feeling well? You recently got hurt in a football
right,
game.
Yes, he hurt his head. That's right.
Are you feeling better, my friend?
Oh, yeah.
Good, is, good, yeah, good. So. You look better.
Yeah, he's doing quite well.
You look better than your old man, anyway.
There it is.
That's not too hard to do that, though.
Yes, the Horror on the Boulevard, down at the Boulevard Drive-In Theater. That's our home base for the TV show and the Horror on the Boulevard, and we'll be doing that again the second weekend of October this year.
And I just want to make sure I'm clear. You actually host the films that are being screened at the drive-in.
I do that during Horror on the Boulevard. I do host that event and some other ones.
Okay.
Now, I host the TV show where we show horror movies as well on the television.
So it's like Friday Fright Night. Like,
it is.
Where you...
Very much so.
Okay.
Well, I pay homage to Hugh Bowen, the host of Friday Fright Night,
yes.
as well as Gregory Graves and Kermesha Mortem, all the greats from Kansas City. I pay tribute to them all. And we also get to interview a lot of great celebrities and bands and things of that nature that are a lot of fun. So.
Cool.
And here we are at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I run into you guys.
Are you having fun?
I am.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is a mess.
You look great, by the way.
Thank you, darling.
Yes.
You need to tell my makeup artist, who is hiding over here in the corner, Rod Zirkle from Red Circle Makeup. He is
Red
the one that
Circle
does it.
Makeup.
Yes. All my Love crew it. Do a wonderful job on the show.
And is this your baby?
This is a Haunted Creepy right here. Oh. One of my nemesis from the television show. They are actually the band that do all the music for the television show, and they haunt the drive-in.
They haunt the drive-in. That's awesome.
That's right. They actually haunt me. They follow me wherever I go, and I can't get rid of them for some reason. I've tried. I've brought in exterminators. I've done everything, and it has not worked.
No, Ghostbusters.
And, of course, my friend Rudy Reyes, the Apocalypse Man, is here. That's exciting.
Yeah.
He was just on Ultimate Survivor Alaska and broke his leg, and that's a big television show, and he's here signing autographs. I just saw him. That is exciting for me.
Cool.
It's like seeing my friend grow up to be a celebrity and watching people take pictures with my friends. It's pretty exciting.
That's kind
you know?
Of a cool
that's
deal.
That's actually
right?
amazing.
It's interesting.
Because
yeah.
you remember all those times when you guys were just, you know, acting fool,
yeah,
right?
Going to see the cult
Hanging
and
out.
Stuff
yeah.
like that in the 90s, and we all had hair, and we were all sexy and good looking, and now we're all old.
You're still
and,
sexy and good looking.
Hello.
Well, hello there.
Oh, hello. Lo. Is that your name?
Yes. I am Lo. Of the Tim and Lo Show.
Yeah, you know.
That's right.
You never know. I am single, though.
So am I. Oh, goodness. What's happening
is it a match made in heaven, folks?
Today.
We'll have to find out.
There you go. I do like to bite. You know what I'm saying?
And I like to be bitten. What's happening?
Here we go. This show is taking a turn.
Let's shut this down quickly. This is not a PG show. Turn off your stereos right now, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Getting a little less kid-friendly around
up in here. When does this air, this little thing we're doing today?
Monday or Tuesday.
Yes.
I'll send you a link.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear this.
Absolutely.
Me flirting with Lo, this is exciting.
I am very excited.
She can't even talk.
That's right. I'm flabbergasted.
Awesome.
So tell me, since you are into horror, my favorite horror film, I believe, of all time is Fright Night.
Fright Night?
Yes.
Okay.
And did you see the remake?
I have not seen the remake.
Oh.
I'm not a fan of the remakes.
Yes.
You're not missing
neither
anything.
Are we.
I'm not missing anything?
No.
Good.
I just sometimes I talk to people about it to see where they stand on that. I was mortified.
I don't see why Hollywood can't come up some original ideas anymore. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like,
you know, the thing about remakes are one thing, but horror remakes are so hard because the whole point of a horror movie is the surprise. And so if you're watching a remake,
and you know what's going to happen,
you know where they're going with scenes. Oh, this is like this,
right?
And there's that scare isn't there anymore.
And on
you know?
Top of it, how can you remake a classic movie? It's a classic
it's
for
a
reason because
yeah.
it was so awesome when they made it the first time. It is a classic and it will never get old.
Yeah,
so therefore, you do not have to
remake
it.
You need
don't
to do it again.
To.
That's right. That's
the
right.
audience has already bowed down.
Exactly.
It's sacred.
But, you know, there are exceptions to the rule. There are some great remakes, you know. I mean, a lot of the classic films that we think are classics are actually remakes themselves.
No,
and
you're
you
right.
don't realize it sometimes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There's, I can't
yeah.
think of an example off the top of my head, but...
But you speak the truth.
I do.
You know, and some movies are like plays, you know. They just get redone and redone and
yeah.
redone throughout time.
Regurgitated some of them.
You know, the good remakes are the ones you don't realize
that's
are
right.
remakes.
That's right.
That's probably the best way
that's,
the best
that's
way
how I
out.
Felt about the Carrie remake and Julianne Moore. the feeling I got was that we're using the screen much like we use the stage now. So these actors who may have seen these iconic roles, they get their opportunity to play it. Because Julianne Moore was fantastic as Carrie's mother. What's her name? Yeah, never mind. So, she was fantastic. And she took it in a completely different direction than the original actor. And so it's good to give them that opportunity.
Right.
But Carrie, as a body of work, could have been left alone.
You know, the 1970s version was very good. And I was extremely afraid of that movie back in the day.
Me too.
I mean, just seeing pictures from it scared me when I was a child.
And there's some good, they do a good job of building some tension, but it falls into that same, you know where each beat is going.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when it gets there, it's more admiring how they did it more than it is getting caught up in that suspense and that fear that, what's this kid going to do? Yeah, there's one woman, huge. Tall.
Well, you know, I think we're going down a dangerous and sad road. With the remakes.
I agree.
Creativity.
Totally.
So, all right, man.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
I don't want to wear out my welcome, you know.
No. You are always
later,
welcome.
You know? Go enjoy the show and
get me.
I'll get that phone number.
Take the little creepy guy with you. And
all right, guys.
Are you having fun?
Awesome.
Seeing some cool stuff? Kind of. You're kind of there. All right. Is that mask treating you all right? All right, dude. All right, buddy. Hey, thank you so much, man. We'll see you.
Yes,
right there, you know, just people
might
come by
some
and
love.
We end up in a conversation.
Yeah, he said he'd come see me. Yeah, do that.
He's a good dude. He does a lot of cool things with
and he's got those aren't gauges. Those are in his ears. I love it. A man with pierced ears. Both of them. Oh my goodness.
I used to have both my ears pierced.
Yeah, right.
I can still get one in this one. I can't do this one anymore.
That's super hot.
Well, see, but I don't have to worry about impressing women anymore.
You have a beautiful wife.
I know.
And there's Two-Face.
Two-Face.
And he went all out. Look at his outfit. He's got a two-tone suit, but matching shoes. See, he loses. No, I'm just kidding. Does Two-Face wear matching shoes?
I don't know. I think there's probably some versions where he's got a nice shoe and a messed up shoe.
Right.
I'm sure artists have gone that way. I couldn't tell you for sure. So I think we finished up our top five. Avengers, just to finish it off, because I don't think we need to go back to it.
Oh, that one's got Loki in it. I think that's what
Avengers
I stopped
is the
with.
Best.
Num, 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 num.
Imagination,
delicious.
Fun, and they pulled off multiple heroes. What was your number one?
It was Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, okay. Just make sure we finished that up and we didn't leave our audience hanging. So,
yeah, let's go ahead and come to a close.
A little wrap up. Thank you so much for listening to us from Comic-Con. It's been one hell of a day. We've had a lot of amazing guests here today. That I just can't even begin to thank them all. Some, you know, from Marlon Wayans to Daryl DMC McDaniels, Timothy Sweeten, Alden Miller, Jason Turner. I'm not even coming.
Just the people who stopped to hang out with us and talk to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just amazing.
It's been a lot of fun. And follow us on Twitter. Facebook.com. Tim and Low/Tim and Low. Email us at TheTimAndLowShow@gmail.com. If you have pictures from Comic-Con,
add them to our Facebook page.
Yeah, find us on Facebook and throw them up there. You know, I mean, one thing we want to do is show off your stuff. I think that's what, you know, as writers and, you know,
filmmakers,
what we
producers,
do,
yeah.
we're trying to get other people's work out in the open, and even if that's just silly little pictures from a silly little convention in a small Midwestern town, it doesn't matter. Show us what you got. We want to hear all your stories.
All right.
And yeah, I'm going to go and
thank you for hanging
really
out with
seriously
us.
Do some people watching and intermingling. I've had a great time. And again,
time.
I want to say thank you to our man Josh Wise, running sound. Josh, thank you so much. Once
being
again,
completely on cue.
Being the man. Being the man for us.
We love you, dude.
Planet Comic-Con. Thank you again.
And to our...
Oh, and my main man, Nicholas, back here.
Nick!
sitting in with us once again. He'll probably
Thanks
be doing this
me.
Himself someday.
Yes,
I think he's
will.
Got a future in journalism.
He's really good already, so yeah.
So, yeah, thank you again. We hope you had fun at Comic-Con. We hope you had fun listening. And join us again next week. We're going to have is... We got a guest next week?
We will have a guest next week, Irene Del Monte. That's the projected guest. We were supposed to have her on by now already, but things have come up like Comic-Con and snow, and so we're working it out.
So that'll be next week. So until then, go see something good and have fun, get crazy.
All right,
see ya. Wouldn't want to be you.
Peace.